Morning at the Pool, AM 1320. You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. When it sounds like a Southern Pacific freight is headed for your front door, you know something isn't right.
I know it was raining. Then the rain started raining hard. I kept hearing the wind. Then it sounded like a train was coming. I said, let me get up and look out that door, see what's going on. When I looked out the door, tornado was coming.
Martin Brown, Riegelwood, North Carolina, not far from where a trailer park was ripped to pieces. 8 people are dead. The missing have been found, so that's the only good news. People wonder why it seems that twisters look for trailer parks. Experts say that's not exactly it. Winds that might make your window shutters sound like castanets might be rolling your neighbor's mobile home into a kindling pile. Military sentence for Specialist James Barker is life with the possibility of parole. He admitted raping a teenage girl in Iraq and testified about the killings of her and her family by other members of the 101st. Democrats have been putting their leadership team together. Nancy Pelosi, as expected, picked by fellow Democrats as next House Speaker. Then they handed her a major defeat, rejecting her hand-picked choice for Democratic Majority Leader.
Pelosi thought she was dealing from a position of strength, that she could get the freshman Democrats and others to go along with her, and she totally miscalculated.
That's political analyst Larry Sabato. The Democrats vote in favor of Steny Hoyer over John Murtha. Wasn't even close. 149-86. And Pelosi and Hoyer have never been buddies, on or off the House floor. Pacific oceanographers with a new report on the Arctic say the melting they are seeing now is Arctic-wide. There may be debate whether it's a cycle or artificial warming of the globe by human population, but
there's more melting on the surface. The melt season seems to be getting longer on the land. We see that there is increase in vegetation, which is another indication of warming.
Jackie Richter-Mingy says 1.8 degrees warmer on average in the last 5 years. That's sobering. One of the most influential economists of the last half century has died. Milton Friedman was 94.
30 years ago, he won the Nobel Prize for Economics, and his theories of monetarism, carefully letting the nation's money supply grow gradually to keep things stable, influenced Presidents Nixon, Ford, and especially Ronald Reagan. Friedman believed in less government intervention, and he was happy to see free market economies established in the former communist empire.
CBS News correspondent Dan Revive. Philadelphia 76ers star guard Allen Iverson says he's tired of reading about murders in Philly. He's offered to pay for the funeral of a man who died after being taken off of life support. Kevin Johnson was shot in June of 2003 by three young men who demanded his Allen Iverson jersey. Johnson refused. They shot him in the neck. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 54 points today to close at almost 12,306. That's a new record again. NASDAQ gained 6 points. Oil prices, $56.26 a barrel, down $2.50. This is CBS News.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
The town was funded by pacifists. Now people who live there are being encouraged to arm themselves.
In the town of Greenleaf, Idaho, population 862, Mayor Brad Holton has himself a motto these days.
Do it for defense, don't do it for offense.
Holton is referring to a just-passed town ordinance that encourages residents who don't object on religious or other grounds to buy a gun. The idea is to help protect Greenleaf during a civil emergency, but Holton says the key is firearms training.
people are going to be trained what this means in a critical situation, a time when there's turmoil.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
The tiny tsunami has hit the California coast, 5-foot swell, believed caused by an 8-plus earthquake way out near Japan. 5-foot waves are not uncommon along the California coast, but big swell makes it into a 10-foot wave. It did destroy two docks at Crescent City Harbor. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join the conversation in a variety of ways. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can call me, and it's always toll free. It doesn't matter where you're calling from, the number. If you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, and if you're not, 866-626-1320. And because we have so many new listeners now, we have many more first-time callers, and we would love to invite you to call us. If you've never called a talk radio show before, think about doing it. You will meet more people this way, or you will be heard by more people than you will ever probably meet in the whole rest of your life. You could possibly alter the dialogue. You could probably add something to it that the rest of us wouldn't have thought of. Lots of reasons that we'd love to hear from you, and it doesn't cost you a penny to be heard and to be widely heard. I want to remind you that in the 4 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by author Frank McCourt. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He did not write his first book until he was 66 years old, and the book was Angela's Ashes, which became a motion picture. The next book was Tiz, and the third book, the most recent, Teacher Man. He spent 30 years teaching in the New York City schools systems. Some of the schools he taught in were pretty pathetic. Others were quite wonderful. He survived it 30 years, and he goes on to write the first of several best-selling books, and his whole life changes. And he is here on behalf of the California Lecture Series tonight at the Crest Theater, and I'll have more information about that. And he will be joining us in studio in Sacramento at 4 o'clock. He's really wonderful. He's a wonderful writer and a wonderful raconteur as well. Lots of things that I want to talk about, some things that we touched on yesterday and some things that we didn't have a chance to get to. I want to first start with this. This is, again, one of the things we talked about yesterday was how everybody thinks that Sacramento will be a world-class city if we have a new arena. The push is really on for the new arena. Meanwhile, we saw pictures yesterday, the architect's rendition of what the new Sacramento terminal, airport terminal is going to look like, and it looks kind of, you know, ho-hum to me. It's no great architectural statement is what I'm thinking. But in today's paper, the Bee is reporting that the talks are going to get underway, and that the NBA commissioner, David Stern, said that he has watched the unfolding events in Sacramento with growing concern. And who has he called? He's not called local officials. He's called Schwartzy. He made a phone call to Schwartzy. So I don't know what Schwartzy's got to do with any of this, but he has decided to start at the top, or in Schwartzy's case, the top is the bottom. NBA has made a call to Schwartzy, and everybody wants to get this thing back on track, and it took such a drubbing, and I'm depressed about it. I don't know what you think about it, but I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. Also, Schwartzy thinks that Sacramento is death until he got here. At least he's quoted in a magazine story as saying that. And so the Sacramento Bee issued a spirited defense in their editorial, in the editorial section. And here's what it was. Dear Governor Schwarzenegger, it said, we, the citizens of Sacramento, want to thank you for breathing life into our once corpse-like city. You alone have enlivened this moribund metropolis, making its heart beat and its muscles bulge. Without you, Governor Schwarzenegger, we would be as dead as a dog in a drainage ditch. Some might have forgotten that what it was like BS Before Schwarzenegger, the BS era, the streets were empty. There was darkness everywhere. Vultures perched on trees, and we all dressed in black hoods carrying our scythes. Not to mention that we had the old Arco Arena and Terminal B. Some might have but then you came, Governor Schwarzenegger, and it all changed. The skies parted, the flowers bloomed, the sun shone down on the city, everyone was happy. Some might take offense at your comments in the current issue of Men's Journal. The interviewer asked you, what about living in Sacramento? A lot of Angelenos would rather be dead. And you replied, Sacramento was death until I got there. You were only speaking candidly, writes the B editorial. True, you never spent much time here in the BS era. That would be before Schwartzy era, since you were busy making all those fantastic movies. But now, like the Maloofs, you have really become part of the community. During the few days a week you spend in Sacramento, we often see you mixing with the little people, dining at Luca or the Esquire Grill. For that, we are so thankful. Our only fear is what happens in the PS, post-Schwarzenegger era. It will be a grim time. Oh, the horror, the horror. And that sign, the Sacramento Bee. Would you like to comment about that? 349-1320. We were nothing. Schwartz, he says we were death until he got here. What do you think? And is he going to buy a house here? He said he was going to buy a house if he got it reelected. He's going to buy a house. You'll be seeing Maria in the Safeway. That's what's going to happen here. And police have added a 10th victim in the NorCal rapist case. Here's the NorCal rapist. All these rapists have different names. Do you remember Stinky the rapist? The Stinky rapist? I guess he smelled so bad that that was his calling card. He was sort of a stinky guy in many, many ways. Well, in any event, I don't remember if they ever caught Stinky the rapist. But my thought about this rapist is something that I have to say I got from watching Oprah. So you can, I don't know if we can get this together. I don't, you know, Oprah's rich. Remember what Chris Rock said about Oprah's a billionaire. Remember what she said, what he said about Oprah? He said, she's so rich, John Kerry's in the parking lot proposing marriage to her. Well, what she does when they're trying to catch a pedophile or a child molester or some miscreant, she offers a big reward. She offers a really big check. And then that sometimes works and it reels people in. And then, you know, the show America's Most Wanted. So sometimes people are amazing that they can remember faces and that some of these posters that are wanted posters that are recreated from the victims, not from a photo, but from the victim's impression. And, you know, the victim is under stress and then later has to recall the details of the attacker and so on. It's amazing how many people have been caught from these kinds of artist renderings. So the 9 rapes yesterday were tied to the what they're calling the NorCal rapist, and now they're adding a 10th. And what Oprah would do, and we're sort of a low rent, we're trying to thinking about a low rent possibility here, is she would offer a huge check to anything that would lead to the conviction, the capture and conviction of the rapist. Well, we don't have $100,000 to offer you. So we'll have to think of something that we could offer you if we had it to offer. You can see I haven't thought this through completely or even superficially. But wouldn't it be a great idea if we could, somebody out there knows who this person is. And I don't know what the incentive would be for that person to come forward. Maybe doing the right thing. I know the big check is a really big incentive, and I don't know that any jurisdiction is offering X thousands of dollars for leading to the capture and conviction of this particular rapist. It'd be very nice if a bunch of businesses could get together, a bunch of women's groups could get together, if we could get together in some way and have some sort of a very decent incentive that we could offer whoever knows who this masked NorCal rapist is, whatever it would take for that person to come forward so that person could be brought to justice. That would be, you know, it's probably somebody who's leading an ordinary life. You know, what they call that killer, the BT killer in, I want to say, Kansas? He was just an ordinary guy with a government job. He worked for one of the municipalities. Thoroughly disliked because he was the guy who told you your grass was a half inch too high and you got to mow your lawn. You got too many weeds in the front lawn. Or your mailbox is painted the wrong color. It's the wrong size. That was that guy. And he's the one who was serially molesting and killing a number of women over the years, and then and a thoroughgoing church member. You know, kind of like the administration. These people who posture to be the most religious, the most spiritual, the most everything, are usually the people that you've got to watch out for. Which brings us to Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard, there was a long piece about Pastor Ted, remember, the head of that huge evangelical association who is hugely anti-homosexuality and even more hugely anti-gay marriage. But it turns out he's also hugely involved with a gay male escort for these hugely wonderful massages that he was. At first he said he was just getting massages. You know, and then he admitted to certain things, but we don't know quite what he admitted to. But whatever it was, it got him hauled off of his pastorate, and he had already resigned from being head of this evangelical association. Well, this long piece in Harper's that was written about a year and a half ago, so way before any of this became public, talked about how Pastor Ted liked to hang out at gay bars and, you know, haul people in from gay bars into his evangelical church and bring the Lord to them in that way. So everybody thought that was a pretty perky thing. They didn't realize there was a whole other backstory going on there, so to speak. Well, now here is Pastor Ted, and in his book, which is called, apparently he's written many books, called Dog Training, Fly Fishing, and Sharing Christ in the 21st Century, he describes the church he thinks good Christians want. He says, and here's how he defines this. Now, this is written a while ago, and it's reprinted in Harper's maybe a year and a half ago, way before he is revealed to be involved in a gay relationship himself. He says, quote, "I want my finances in order. I want my kids trained," he says, "and I want my wife to love life. I want good friends who are a delight and who provide protection for my family and me should life become difficult someday." And then he goes on to add, "I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets." He says, "I want stability and at the same time steady forward movement. I want the church to help me live my life well, not exhaust me with endless, quote, worthwhile projects." So let me give you this again. What he does not want is the following. I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets. Now, he says this in his book. I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets. And then he's quoted a year and a half ago in this piece that Harper's Magazine does on him. And I really think it bolsters what I've often said, is that the thief is the one who thinks everybody else is out to steal. The man who has scandals and secrets, because he cannot deal with them, and surprises. He has all three of those things going for him. The very things he doesn't want. The things he writes about, because he's trying to write it right through scandal, secrets, and surprises, and his whole hidden life. He's trying to tell you how to live a good life, as he is struggling with his own life that doesn't measure up, I'm sure, to his particular standard for it. He's now telling us, I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets. Well, that is exactly the life that he has been living. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So, if you have any ideas about how we can trap listeners to Enid Live, can lasso in the NorCal masked stalker and rapist, I'd love to hear from you, because if there were some sort of a fund set up in a trust account of any substantial monies, maybe it would cause somebody who knows something about this to come forward. It's just a thought. It was just something I was thinking about yesterday and today. I don't know if it's doable, but I wonder what your thoughts are about that. And secondly, here's Schwartzy calling Sacramento death until he got here. Well, you know, it's sort of in line with what we were talking about. Like, Sacramento, you want to be a world-class city, pick up the trash in the places where there's a lot of trash around. Those of you who see the trash, call it in. We should have had signature architectural statement in the new airport terminal. But if it's too late for that, we ought to be having signature architectural statements in the buildings conceived and built heretofore. More public art, more public parks and open space and things that make the city beautiful. I'm going to tell you what else they did in Chicago. Besides the fact that the New York Times anointed Chicago the best architectural city in America, Chicago was a gritty industrial place for a lot of years. You know, part of that old last century and the century before that manufacturing belt in the Midwest. And this new mayor, the boss's son, this Mayor Daley, decided that he wanted to green up the city. And so in the years of his term as mayor in Chicago, the city has become gorgeous. There are plantings all over the place. There are flowers. There are beautiful gardens. There are, you know, they have just made it. They have just reinvented it. And as a result, Chicago has been able to reinvent itself, to take those empty, say, Montgomery Ward catalog buildings and make those into lofts and office space and you know and who knows what, and to make itself, really transform itself, which a lot of cities, particularly in the Midwestern Rust Belt, have had a hard time doing. So we have Sacramento, and I think we're poised for something here. Everybody used to say, oh, well, Sacramento's in midway between the Bay Area and Tahoe, but what is it of itself, in and of itself, other than the capital of California? Well, it's a lot of things. And as the region becomes really one huge region, more and more people, not only do a lot of Sacramentans commute every day to the city for their jobs, but there is a big reverse commute too, which I'm sure you're aware of, but maybe you're not as aware of it. There are a lot of people driving in from Marin, from Berkeley, from the city, who work in Sacramento, who are high-powered lobbyists, who work for lobbying firms, who work in all kinds of jobs in Sacramento. So the traffic is a two-way traffic, and I think we really could be poised here to do something really magical and special. So I'd love your thoughts about that. So Schwartzy says this place was death until he got here. Well, I don't know. Actuarially speaking, I'm not so sure what his role here in the longevity of Sacramento is, but you might have some ideas about that. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we might see some rain in the next couple of days. It's a little foggy tomorrow morning. We'll see that nice and thick coming northbound 99. Lows tonight, right around 42, and highs coming up tomorrow, 69. Now, our traffic slowed down in our usual spots, I-5 and at J Street, northbound 99 at Fruit, northbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road, northbound 99 at Sutterville Road, and it looks like just past Arden Way, we have a couple of car crashes. Southbound 99, Eureka. It's looking pretty good. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sal Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
Flaming liberal, long-haired hippie during the 60s and 70s.
And when did your soul die? I'm sorry, that was an unfair question.
It died the day I got affirmative action.
Ah.
That's a personal story.
Well, sure.
That was then.
There's a little part that ever peeks out every so often, Jerry. I'm just telling you, because you're calling this show.
I like to listen to different points of view. Sometimes I'm arguing with you when I'm not calling.
Well, that's all right, too.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Future Ford's year-end clearance. With incredible savings on over 500 used vehicles in stock. Pre-owned 06 4x4 XLT Explorer. Two to choose from. Priced at $19,988. That's over $8,000 below Kelley Blue Book. There's never been a better time to shop Future Ford for incredible savings on over 500 pre-owned vehicles in stock. These 06 XLT Explorers won't last at $19,988. Future Ford in the Roseville Auto Mall and Future Ford I-80 in Madison.
ID numbers FR-64755, FR-64756, previous daily rentals.
Are you having any fun?
Come into Safeway today for terrific prices on turkeys. With your club card, get Grade A Manor House frozen turkeys up to 16 pounds, just $5.99 each. Over 16 pounds, just $7.99 each. Plus, get honeysuckle turkeys up to 16 pounds, just $7.99 each. Over 16 pounds, just $9.99 each. Limit 2 while supplies last. Safeway guarantees the lowest price on USDA Grade A frozen turkeys. We'll match any competitor's price. Restrictions apply. Start thawing your turkey today to make the exclusive Safeway 2-hour turkey recipe. Plus, get great side dish recipes. Pick up the 4 tools needed to create the 2-hour turkey and receive $3 off. Today, either in-store with your club card or online at Safeway.com, California-grown seedless clementine mandarin oranges are $4.99 for a 5-pound box. Plus, get Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream in 1 3/4 quarts. Selected varieties are buy one, get one of equal or lesser value free. And check out our special holiday hours.
Are you having any fun?
Safeway, ingredients for life.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
24 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. You probably have heard it by now. Steny Hoyer is the number two in the Democratic in the House. He beat out Murtha. Even though Nancy Pelosi supported Murtha, I'm really glad that Steny Hoyer got it because Murtha's got some ethical issues that he's got to deal with. And there was an editorial on the Bee today endorsing Jane Harman to run the Intelligence Committee, and apparently her relationship with Nancy Pelosi is kind of frosty. We're talking about a lot of different things, and I want to remind you, Frank McCourt will be joining us live in studio in the next hour, in the 4 o'clock hour. He's the author of Angela's Ashes, Pulitzer Prize-winning author, new book, Teacher Man, now out in paper. Back. And you can join the conversation, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about our usual flea market of ideas. We're talking about the fact that the NBA's commissioner, David Stern, is getting involved, and his phone call was to Schwartzy and not to anybody else, not to any of the city officials trying to get the arena on track. And what a waste of time this is. They should spend as much time trying to really make Sacramento a fantastic city as they are on this arena. We'd have a better city, I think. We would pick up the trash, maybe. Maybe we'd have better architecture. Maybe we'd have more public art. That would all be good. Sculpture, that would be a good thing. And Schwartzy, who was called by the NBA, said that Sacramento was death until he got here. So have you noticed that Sacramento has improved in its celebrity quotient since Schwartzy took over? You'll have to tell me how that happened. I'd love to hear from you. We're trying to figure out ways, and this is sort of a half-lame-brained attempt, but this rapist is very troubling. This guy, 10 rapes are now attributed to the NorCal rapist. If this were the Oprah show, which it is not, Oprah's a billionaire. I'm only a zillionaire. I'm rich. I'm rich in ideas, is what I'm rich in. But Oprah is rich in her bank account too. And if she offered a check, I bet we'd be able to bring this guy to justice. And if maybe there's some way that a community association can get together, women's groups, a lot of other groups who don't want to have rapists in their midst, serial rapists, which means what do? Eat Rice Krispies before they commit a crime? I don't know. We'd like, maybe somebody knows something about this person and they could be brought to justice. We're also talking about Pastor Tad. This is a man, who said in one of his books recently and then quoted recently, I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets, when he was living a life that was completely filled with secrets. I want to move to something. You go to church every day, and you think that when you're listening to somebody like Pastor Tad, or no, you don't go to church every day. Most people don't, but some people do. You go to church, and you think why do you go to church? Let me ask you this, because one of the things we're talking about is a certain hypocrisy that I guess we are taking for granted in life. You have these Pastor Teds, and as more and more of them are revealed as living double lives, saying one thing and doing another, I guess we sort of shrug. It's like, oh, well, this isn't new. Remember Jimmy Swaggart, and remember Tammy Faye's husband, Baker. Remember all these people? Well, it gets even worse than that. It isn't that you have to be in a church that is headed by the likes of a Ted Haggard who's leading a double life, because most churches and synagogues and are helmed by people who are, very nice, trying to do the right thing for their flock, trying to provide spiritual comfort and uplift and get people on the right road in life. Well, there's a certain twist to this going on. The sermon that you are hearing when you enter your house of worship may be from the net. It may be nothing that your minister or your rabbi or imam wrote. Sometimes you can buy these for $10 off the web, and sometimes they're there for free. And some people have no qualms at all about using these, that it's a, quote, a better product than anything they could come up with. So the Reverend Brian Moon says that he has come up with ideas for his sermons after water skiing and while watching My Name is Earl on TV and while working on his 1969 Buick muscle car. He also finds inspiration on the Internet, as he did in August when he preached about God's math. People are drowning in their marriages, drowning in their careers, drowning in hurtful habits, Mr. Moon told his congregation in Florida. He said they need someone to rescue them. It's called the Church of the Sun Coast in Land O'Lakes, Florida. It sounds like it was built about 10 minutes ago, doesn't it? The Church of the Sun Coast in Land O'Lakes, Florida. They need someone to rescue them, bring them on the raft. They need people driven by God's addition. These words, it turns out, from the good pastor's sermon, were first uttered 3 years ago by a different pastor in a church in Texas. Well, he has got a website called creativepastors.com, and that website sells transcripts of this and other sermons for $10 each. Mr. Moon, who is the pastor of the church in Florida, says that he has delivered about 75% of this other pastor's sermon. He said just because it was really good. That included a whitewater rafting anecdote similar to the original. And anyway, Pastor Moon, who has now been pastor of this Florida church for 7 months, never credited the other pastor from whom he got this sermon. And he makes no apologies about recycling the sermon. Truth is truth, he says. There is no sense reinventing the wheel, Pastor Moon says, if you've got something that's a good product. Why go out and beat your head against the wall and try to come up with it yourself? These days, a lot of preachers apparently agree. The sermon, an oration traditionally expressing the thoughts of the cleric doing the talking, has entered the age of reruns. Topics and transcripts are available on sites like SermonCentral.com, Pastors.com, SermonSpice.com, and DesperatePreacher.com. In the old days, when a preacher wanted to pinch a sermon, he had to consult a book, a magazine, or a sermon anthology. The offerings have a multi-denominational appeal, allowing Presbyterians, traditionalists, or megachurch evangelicals to download talks on faith, hope, and charity for a few bucks or even free of charge. Then there's Torah Facts in Florida, which runs a sermon email subscription service for rabbis. Sites pay authors for individual sermons. So if you write the sermon, you actually write, you know, sermons for dummies. If you write one of these things, you could make maybe 50 bucks. And sometimes these websites buy up sermon libraries. The widespread buying of packaged wisdom has touched off a debate about ethics, especially after incidents in which pastors have resigned over plagiarism allegations. Some members of the clergy say that sermon sales diminish religious oratory and undermine both scholarship and the trust between ministers and their flocks. So let me ask you these questions. Do you feel hoodwinked to know that when you go to your house of worship, that sermon is canned? That sermon was somebody else's sermon, recycled, rerun for this particular service on this particular day, that your pastor, your minister, your rabbi, your imam, your whoever, picked it off a website called Sermons R Us, sermons.com, desperatepreachers.com? You know, the thoughts may be wonderful. But it isn't, it's plagiarism. I think it's so dishonest that the place where you're going to get some sort of a moral uplift, to get some sort of a please live a more moral life, the very place that you're going for moral instruction is a place that's pinching sermons from somebody else, and they're not telling you that they're doing it. Now, if I'm a writer, and I pick some wonderful literature to pass off as my own. Well, let's say some Pulitzer Prize. Let's say I pinch something from Frank McCourt. Let's say I pinch something from John Steinbeck or Ernest Hemingway or you know, fill in the blank. Name your favorite. John Grisham. Name your favorite author. Let's Danielle Steele. Supposing I do that, there are laws against it. There are intellectual property laws that prevent it. And if there aren't, you know, you have a lot of kids who pinch stuff off the internet instead of writing their own papers. There are all these websites where you can buy term papers. Some of them are pretty shabby, and then there's a lot of software that can tell the instructor if you have plagiarized or if you bought a term paper instead of writing it. But I'm sure it's not an exact science. So everywhere we are, all of this stuff is now available, and it's available seemingly for the taking, I guess, but it seems to me ridiculously dishonest, and particularly if you're a man of or woman of the cloth and you are passing off this stuff as your thoughts. I think if you're going to use one of these canned sermons, somebody else's work, I think you need to credit that person. If you are an academic and you're using somebody else's work and trying to pass it off as your own, guess what? You'll get tossed out of the university for plagiarism. And there are many columnists on newspapers who have recycled other people's work, and they have been sanctioned and fired. And let me tell you a story of a columnist who recycled her own work from 4 or 5 years ago. It might have been one of the advice columnists. Was it Abby or was it was somebody who recycled her own stuff 4 or 5 years ago. She wasn't plagiarizing from anybody but herself, and she fell into the soup because there was an honesty lacking in that contract with the reader. So if you're going to a house of worship and your minister, pastor, rabbi, whomever, is filching a sermon, even if it's a brilliant sermon from somebody else, and not crediting that person, is that right? Is that moral? Is that fair? You tell me. Does that diminish? Does it make the head of your house of worship seem less than if they're not even able to come up? I mean, it seems to be a basic requirement that you can inspire your congregation. And part of inspiring them is to deliver inspiring sermons. So it would seem to me that it says about whoever's leading that house of worship that they are not up to the job. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to steal from other people. 3-4-9-13-20. And these ministers are stealing from other people and not crediting them. It's one thing if you use somebody else's sermon. Another thing if you credit them for the use. It's not as bad. 3-4-9-13-20. 866-626-1320. What do you think about this? Would you feel uncomfortable with this, knowing that if you attend church, synagogue, the mosque, and find out that you're being peddled reruns and the head of your congregation isn't even telling you this? Isn't that disturbing to you? The place where it's supposed to be more sacred, the place where it's supposed to be purer than it is in other parts of life. Wouldn't you be disturbed by that? And what does that say about what's going on in this society? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we're going to see some sprinkles on for the next couple of days. Did on my way to work, northbound 99 was looking pretty good. Today, at this moment, 336, we have about 5 car crashes along the roadway by Fruit Ridge Road, 12th by 50 in the Octopus, and Arden Way and Marconi Avenue, it looks like. Southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road on the other side, a 3-car crash. Enid Live will continue at 813-20 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Hello. Did you know that bottle or newspaper you toss in the recycle bin could be your kitchen countertop tomorrow? You don't have to wait until tomorrow to find eco-friendly choices for countertops, flooring, and paint. You can find them today at Green Sacramento, Fulton, and Alta Arden. Looking for something unique instead of the ever-present granite slab? Imagine glass pebbles embedded in composite materials, creating a collage of color and texture. Unique and exquisite, and only at Green Sacramento, Fulton, and Alta Arden. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the warmth of hardwood floors without the negative impact on our forests? You can today, only at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Install eco-friendly hardwood floors today, just in time for the holidays. And would you like to paint a room without the toxic smell, or take home a large wall paint swatch to make color choice easy? You can today at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Come explore the many options and vast selection of unique materials to remodel or upgrade your home. Unique, practical, creative, and eco-friendly. Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The
line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about ministers. We're talking, quoting Pastor Ted, who said in a piece that was written about him a year and a half ago, and actually it was part of a book that was written even earlier than that. He says, I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets, he says, living a life filled with surprises, scandals, and secrets. And then I'm reading in the Wall Street Journal where the sermon, you go into a house of worship, and the sermon that you're getting for your moral uplift, for your, you know, putting you on a higher plane for that day, that moment, maybe to try to get your life on a higher plane, is a canned sermon on the net that your pastor, minister, rabbi, imam is getting for nothing, or maybe paying $10 for. I mean, I think it's, and never say, and they don't tell you. I think it's sort of, I think it's depressing, and I think it's low rent, to tell you the truth. Iris in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Iris.
Hi, Enid. I was just calling to say I think the ethics behind that are just absolutely lacking. The church is supposed to be the place where ethical standards are supposed to be upheld and taught and touted. And to have your pastor falsifying, if you will, their sermon on Sundays or whenever you go to worship is just, that's just unconscionable.
Well,
absolutely unconscionable.
So if you were going to a house of worship, and you find out that the whoever heads the congregation is pinching his sermons, his or her sermons, from some sermon service. you know, why does he even bother to talk? He should just move his lips and let somebody else do the talking.
Or just print because it all out and hand it out as a handout, and we'll read it, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you know, I'm a college professor, and you know, if I want to do something like that, I have to cite where I get information from. And if my students turn in something that they've plagiarized or borrowed, if you will, from less reputable sources, I'm going to get after them about it.
Well, all right. As an academic, Iris, you're a college professor. If you don't cite the right sources, you're in the soup. You could get you could be fired if you were
absolutely
pinching somebody else's information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you take somebody else's information, that's not yours. We flunk students for doing that kind of behavior, and as a professor, my credibility would be at stake if I did that kind of thing. So if we write anything, if we're using anything, if you think you may have heard it someplace else, you better cite it and say that and give that person the dues that they're required to have for that. Now, if your sermon needs to have a bibliography, I think as a cleric, you might want to rethink your job, because you're obviously not focused on the spiritual side of this that's supposed to give you the inspiration to write these yourself.
Well, here's the minister that they're quoting, and this is a guy whose church is the Church of the Sun Coast, which sounds to me like they built it about a day ago. The Church of the Nothing Much. He thinks there's nothing wrong with it. He likes working on his muscle car. He says, you know, why not? Knock your head out. Why knock yourself out when you got a better product on the internet than anything you could have come up with? All right, let me ask you this question, Iris. Supposing you go to a house of worship and the whoever's in charge, the pastor, the minister, the rabbi, the imam, says, as our sermon today is taken from the words of, and then he quotes some other pastor. That wouldn't be as bad. Although if he did it often enough, you'd wonder why you were hiring this minister who was cribbing everybody else's work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have to have cliff notes to always write your sermon, then, you know, that's pretty bad.
I think we have to start a service called Sermons for Dummies. What do you think about my plan to bring in the rapist? What would bring in the rapist? Just a big check maybe, huh?
Oh, wow. You know,
it has to be Oprah. Time. She's so rich. She's the only one who can do it.
I know, to actually offer enough money to have somebody rat somebody out like that. But, you know, you would hope people once again would turn in people because they knew they did something wrong, not because they were going to get a big fat check for it. But, you know, if we can sweeten the pot a little bit with that.
I think a lot of community groups ought to come together, especially women's groups, and make some sort of a reward available. But, you know, money's so tight, maybe that's not possible. Iris, I thank you very much for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Don in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Don.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
good. Hey, I am a pastor here in town.
Yes.
And so I was hearing this and wanted to kind of weigh in on the other side of utilizing things like Sermon Central or actually that's one of my bookmarks on my computer. I don't preach every week. I'm not the lead teaching pastor for our congregation. I get to do it every 6 weeks or so. And what I have always seen going on the web and looking at what's going on there is a way of, I mean, when I go on to Sermon Central, I have never preached a sermon word for word at all. On Sermon Central, people have actually contributed their sermons online so that people can look at them. And I really see it as part of a research. It's similar, I think.
All right. Now, when on Sermon Central, are there just ideas or are there full-fledged sermons?
Oh, there are full-on word-for-word sermons. There's also a section where you can just get illustrations. And yet sometimes it's neat to see
how do you preach an illustration, but I guess that's another story. All right, now let me ask you. So when you go online and you look at the sermons that are available online, what do you do? Is it just inspire you to think of your own sermon? Or?
Exactly. It's very similar to listening to tapes, CDs out there from other speakers to see what their take on a particular passage from Scripture would be. And I'm sure there's got to be some guys out there who are taking them and doing them word for word, and that is appalling. That
all right, so you're against that. If they're doing it word for word, you are against
that.
But what you're saying is for somebody who's doing a sermon, to look over what everybody else has done and to be inspired by, that's a whole other thing.
Sure, and so I'm wondering if the,
so when you're writing your sermon, Pastor Don, are you doing it, how are you doing? Are you doing your own words, having read all this stuff, or are you pinching some of the stuff that's online?
I always start with understanding the text through commentaries and all that kind of stuff. So on my own, I have to understand that. Then to kind of look at maybe how people have structured their talks. Maybe how they have used some illustrations. That's what I utilize Sermon Central for. A lot of people who put their sermons on, they contribute and they're featured contributors each week or each month. And it's as if they understand that people are going to be reading their stuff word for word. So it's almost as if they are giving permission, if you will. So I don't ever see it as.
Well, I have to. I want to share with you from the annals of talk radio, and for the annals of talk radio, if I were and you're not giving a sermon every week, you're doing it every 6 weeks or so. So don't you want your sermons to really shine? And if you do it too far in advance, it's a canned thing, I think. And in talk radio, I can tell you this: if the topic that catches fire on Monday will not catch fire on Tuesday, and if the topic could be exactly the same, it could, you know, not that you've done it the day before, because if you have done it the day before, it will not. But if you do it on Tuesday instead of Monday, it might not work. There's something about being right there, the right moment for something, the right time, the right place, the right moment. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of magic. And if you do stuff way too far in advance, way too structured, way too, it has a more canned quality, and it doesn't take advantage of the moment, although you probably have to have some structure going. But you need to, my advice to you, knowing nothing whatsoever about this subject at all, is also to incorporate the moment. And then your sermons, Pastor Don, will shine even more than they do now, I'll bet. And
yeah,
I think
because what you're looking at is you have to also put in the illustrations that fit for your congregation. Otherwise, it's not going to hit at all.
Oh, well, I thank you for calling.
Thank you
very much. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Let's head over to Kurt in Orangevale. Hi, Kurt. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. What do you think about pastors going to these websites and pinching sermons and not crediting the actual writers of the sermons?
Well, personally, I have no problem with it whatsoever.
You don't? Why?
Well, I think what we're on is...
Don't you want to hold them to a higher standard?
I'm sorry, I was...
Don't you want to hold our clergy to a higher standard?
Well, I'd like to address that.
Okay.
And that I think what we're on is on somewhat of an ethical slippery slope. The context is really critical. If an academician, for example, goes and claims someone's research is their own, I think that's a very different situation than asking the question, or making the statement, I should say, how many times can you say, thou shalt not kill? How many different ways can you say, thou shalt not kill? For a clergyman to go and present something to his or her congregation as inspirational, what difference does it make what the source is, as long as the they're inspiring them to a better way of life?
Kurt, I think it makes every difference in the world. It's not honest. It's dishonest. You can get away with it. And if you're trying to inspire somebody to tell the truth, how great an example are you when you're pinching somebody else's material and you don't credit them for it?
What if the person...
Well, so, I mean, how is that an ethical beacon?
What if the person subscribes to the website and the website allows...
Of course, and it allows you, but there's an honesty involved here. It may be that you break... It may not be illegal, but is it unethical? And I would say it's unethical. You know, Julie Doolittle pinches 15%. She skims 15% off of the top of any political contribution that her husband brings in. It's not illegal, but everybody agrees it's unethical. Or at least I certainly do, and a lot of fundraising groups do as well. Do you see what I'm saying? I think a lot of ministers are doing this, but if they are, I think they're lying to themselves if they think that it's the right thing to do. So on this one, you and I are going to disagree. I do thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some slowdowns going southbound 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like northbound I-5 at J Street, we have a two-car crash. And coming back, northbound Cap City Freeway. Now, there's also a three-car crash there at I-80 and Madison Avenue, stopping traffic onto Madison Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm what you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Future Automotive Group is overstocked with pre-owned vehicles. Take advantage of their year-end clearance and shop from the comfort of home at FutureAutomotiveGroup.com.
Hi, I'm Michelle Shockley, going places on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Sacramento County Historical Society presents A Taste of History at the Tow Auto Museum on Friday night. More than 15 historical groups and museums will prepare and offer tastings of traditional foods popular in California from its early days through 1950. The Sacramento Harvest Festival, an original art and craft show, is happening Friday through Sunday at Cal Expo. The Mountain Mandarin Festival is happening Saturday and Sunday at the Gold Country Fairgrounds in Auburn. This juicy fruit, the mandarin orange, is only available from now through January. Local favorite Mumbo Gumbo is in concert on Saturday night at the Palms in Winters. And clean-cut comedian Brian Regan is bringing his You Too comedy tour to the Crest Theater on Saturday night. I'm Michelle Shockley, going places on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Al Franken Show.
What the National Red Cross said and what other agencies said. You remember when Kerry talked about that? He said that we shouldn't be in the middle of the night kicking in doors and terrorizing women and children in Iraq. And the Hannitys of the world said, John Kerry's calling us terrorists. But that's exactly, unfortunately, what we did all too often. And all too often we won.
The Al Franken Show. Weekdays 9 to noon on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 3:53 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here. Enid Live is here, and the Morning Retort is here, and all this great programming is here. So, the sermon that you are listening to on Sunday morning could have been pinched from a website, and your clergy doesn't even tell you a lot of the time, and a lot of clergy thinks that this is just fine. I think it's dishonest, and I think it's particularly deceptive because this is a place that you're going to that is supposed to be held to a higher standard. Jeff in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Enid. I think it's more about inspiration and not citation. I gave a wedding a few months ago, and I pieced together the ceremony from several sources, and I just cut and pasted the paragraphs. And if I'd have stopped in the middle of the ceremony to cite all the places I got it, it would have kind of killed the flow, if you get what I'm saying.
Well, you can do – no. You mean, did you cite any of the places that you got it?
No, but if someone asked me afterwards, I would have told them where I got it. You know,
are you
the line is drawn.
Are you a minister?
Yeah, I'm an ordained reverend.
And you don't – you use this stuff and you don't cite any of it?
Yeah, I'm giving a verbal. Well, I'm marrying two people. I'm not going to stop and say this part's from bridal.com and this part's from the Bible. And you know,
if you pinch somebody else's sermon, don't you cite it? Don't you say, you know, Pastor so and so in such and such a place had this to say?
Well, I'm not publishing it. So if someone afterwards said that was really great.
You know what, Pastor Jeff? I think you're really misguided on this. And I have to tell you, I do talk radio. I'm not marrying anybody, and I'm not conducting any kind of a service. But I want to tell you something. I am quoting my sources all day long. I'm telling you that I got this in the Wall Street Journal, and I got that from the New York Times, and I got that from the Los Angeles Times, and I got that from the Bee. Because I think that that's the honest way of doing it. And
well,
I think there's a way that you can weave that in so that you don't sound like an academic discourse when you're marrying two people.
Yeah, well, as I said, if someone asked me, I would tell them. But I didn't take any credit for it. I got credit for the performance.
Yeah, you did, and it was dishonestly achieved because you didn't say that you got all this information from various websites.
But I'm not in a contest. I'm not trying to take
it. It's not about a contest. You're a minister. It's about honesty. That's what I think it's really about. 349-1320, Kirk, on I-80. Hi, Kirk. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I absolutely agree with you. I think that sermons ought to be the original work of the ministers who are giving them, or else the ministers need to say where they came from. But I was listening to it, till you talk about it, and I began to think about sermons that I've heard in my life. And when I was in high school, I had a minister, and he told a joke in the middle of every single sermon. And we all kind of made fun of him because sometimes these jokes just, you know, like he really, really had to pull to make them sound like they had anything to do with the topic of the sermon. And obviously, he just believed he needed to have a joke in each sermon. He never, ever said anything about where those jokes came from. That wasn't why we thought they were stupid.
You thought they were stupid because they were bad jokes.
We thought they were stupid because they were bad jokes. And I never would have thought he was dishonest because he didn't say, well, you know, I got this out of, you know, X, Y, and Z joke book.
Well, somehow getting a joke out of a joke book is not the same as delivering a sermon that you have pinched from somebody else and you don't credit that person.
Yeah, I think that it's a matter of degree, and then you get into all sorts of questions. The reverend who called to talk about how he wanted to read these.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Severe storms kill 12 in the South.
It is a major catastrophe.
House Democrats get behind their new Speaker Nancy Pelosi, but then reject the man she wanted as Majority Leader. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A powerful storm system moving slowly across the South is blamed for at least a dozen deaths, including 8 people killed when a tornado tore into a mobile home community in Riegelwood, North Carolina. Martin Brown lives there.
I know it was raining. Then the rain started raining hard. I kept hearing the wind. Then it sounded like a train was coming. I said, let me get up and look out that door, see what's going on. When I looked out the door, tornado was coming.
His home was damaged. Many of his neighbors weren't so lucky. This is Sheriff Chris Batten.
There's an area that's probably almost a half a mile wide. It reaches 3/4 to a mile in length that is totally demolished. Homes turned upside down. Vehicles completely destroyed. Debris over the whole area.
Now the bad weather's moving north. Heavy rain arrived in Baltimore this afternoon, and CBS News meteorologist George Cullen says the Northeast is in for it tonight and tomorrow.
Even if these storms don't produce any tornadoes, they are going to produce some blinding downpours. It's going to be very hard to see for people driving.
Washington State's Puget Sound region has been pounded yet again. That story from Heather Bosch of station KIRO.
Utility crews are fanning out all over Whidbey Island, turning the power back on after a windy storm knocked it out.
Basically, it's trees on the lines.
That's the culprit.
Yep.
But it'll take time to bring everyone back online.
Well, they said it probably wouldn't be until a couple of days.
Bill Leinberger takes it in stride, leaving his dark, cold home for a local restaurant and definitely
hot coffee.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Whidbey Island, Washington.
Now this.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Office Depot for amazing deals this holiday season. This week only, Office Depot has 20% off all digital camera and printer bundles. Start your holiday shopping now with top brands and low prices on LCD and plasma flat screen TVs, camcorders, computers, and MP3 players like the new Zune. Office Depot has the latest technology for everyone on your list. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Available in-store only. Discount excludes clearance items. Quantity limited while supplies last.
It's said that being a leader in Congress is like herding cats. Nancy Pelosi learned that lesson today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story.
Just after Democrats embraced Nancy Pelosi to be their speaker, they rejected her choice for majority leader. She backed Jack Murtha of Pennsylvania, who led Democratic opposition to the Iraq War. But in a secret ballot, Democrats overwhelmingly went for Steny Hoyer of Maryland, who's long been Pelosi's deputy and was in line to move up.
It was not that somebody was rejected today. It was that a team that had been successful was asked to continue to do that job on behalf of the American people.
Pelosi was unapologetic for complicating the race and pushing for Murtha.
Because I thought that would be the best way to bring an end to the war in Iraq.
It was an embarrassing start to trying to keep Democrats unified, but she and Hoyer promised to do just that. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A military judge at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, has sentenced 23-year-old Army Specialist James Barker to life in prison for his role in the rape of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl who was later killed along with her family. Barker agreed to testify against three other accused soldiers in order to avoid the death penalty. Four American contractors are among the people captured when a convoy hauling supplies from Kuwait was ambushed in southern Iraq. The U.S. military has mounted a search. Milton Friedman, the economist whose thinking influenced Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and before him Alan Greenspan, died in San Francisco today. He was 94.
Born in 1912 to poor immigrant parents in New York, Milton Friedman became a master of money, winning the Nobel Prize for Economics and advising presidents, especially Nixon, Ford, and Reagan, that true freedom came from minimizing government interference.
The only way to cure inflation is to slow down the rate at which the quantity of money is increasing.
By cutting public spending. calling Friedman a hero for politicians who call themselves true conservatives. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Friedman wrote more than a dozen books, including one titled There Is No Such Thing as a Free Lunch. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation, 349-1320. Oh, who is making that noise? Oh, it must be Frank McCourt, who's with us live in studio. A wonderful author, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His newest book, Teacher Man, now available in paperback. His first book written when he was 66 years old, and it won a Pulitzer, Angela's Ashes, and was made into a major motion picture, or a motion picture. Well, they're all major, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be at the Crest Theater tonight at 7:30,
yeah, right.
And you can meet him there, and you just have to show up at the Crest and buy a ticket, and then you are able to meet a wonderful raconteur and a fantastic writer. Frank McCourt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So talk to me. You talk. You know, your life, I collect obituaries, which sounds
really?
Like...
Really?
Yes,
oh.
I do. I know it sounds sort of grisly.
That was a teaching technique of mine.
It was?
What is it? Obituaries. Well,
they're little biographies, I think.
Of course, they have to be. Somebody gave me a collection of obituaries from the New York Times. Not of famous people, but of eccentric, out-of-the-way people, and it's wonderful. They had an obituary writer at the New York Times who was a master. I forget his name. I think it was called 101 Days, 101 Obituaries, but they were... You know, people never think of them. We read them all right. And as somebody said... there was a Chicago writer, James T. Farrell, who said, whenever I read the obituary of a publisher, it makes my day.
Well, your life is very interesting. You were born in Brooklyn, and then somewhere along the line you went back to Ireland, where it was a very impoverished life, which became Angela's Ashes, I think.
Yeah.
And you come back to this country, an uncertain young man, and you wind up teaching for 30 years in the New York school system,
public school, high school.
And you retire at the age of 66, and you write a book, and it wins a Pulitzer Prize. So when you start out in a place, the arc of your life has been pretty amazing.
Yeah,
Talk to me about that.
It still is amazing because it goes beyond the heights of the limits of the American dream. Because I never expected to write a book that would get any attention. I always wanted to write. And I said, all I wanted was to write one book which would get a Library of Congress number, you know. And I thought, if it was published, I'd go on and hang around bookshops and watch women, beautiful women, fingering my book. And then I'd be happy. That's all. I thought if I wrote about the family, it would be read by the family. Somebody told me when I was writing Angela's Ashes, it would be read by middle-aged, middle-class Irish widows. But it went beyond that.
So in the years that you were teaching, were you writing at all? Were you able to do
it? Oh, you know, I was always writing. I was always trying to write. There was always desperation. And then I used to try to write on weekends, and summers would come along. When I didn't work during the summers, I tried to write. It didn't work out. You have to be at it. It's like being a marathon, training for the marathon. You have to be at it all the time. You can't say, I'll write today and I'll write again next week. No, there's a kind of writing intellectual muscle at play, and it gets flabby if you don't use it. That's why I so admire and envy people like the late William Stern, whose funeral I was at the other day, who was at it since he was in his 20s, of Philip Roth and people like that. There's a supple way they have of dealing with language. It's harder for me. When Angela's Ashes was published when I was 66.
Yeah.
And that in itself gives great hope to a bunch of aging old farts around the country. Because they all have stories that... I've been told repeatedly. I get manuscripts. I get ideas from manuscripts. I get calls. I get emails. Oh, my grandfather had a life just like yours, and he wants to write about it. And I could tell him write about it. And then could you please give this manuscript to a publisher, an agent? So people are. I've been blamed for this. I've been blamed for this tsunami of memoirs.
Gore Vidal once said that teaching ruined more writers than drink.
Yeah, teaching.
Talk to me about teaching for 30 years in the school system. And before you answer that question, I have had many, many authors, many best-selling authors that I've interviewed, who before they became best-selling authors had day jobs. And they would, it's remarkable. I don't know how they're able to do it. I wouldn't be able, I am not able to do it. Well, but they would start out, they'd get very early in the morning, they'd work on the book, then they would somehow turn it off, go do the day job, come home, and be able to turn it back on again and do it all over again every single day.
You could do that if you have a job in advertising or something like that. You can't do it if you're a teacher. You simply can't. Name me one man or woman who's ever written a successful book while teaching high school in a public high. You can't. You just can't. You get up in the morning, your head is filled with the stuff that you have to do during the day. You're behind in the papers you have to grade. And so college teachers can do it. You know, university, they write books because they teach about 2 minutes every week. And then
why did you become a high school teacher?
I suppose in a way I drifted into it. I didn't have much self-confidence about doing anything else. I think I'd like to have been a journalist or, strangely enough, a criminologist. But I didn't have the self confidence to become a journalist, so I think I thought, well, I'll become a teacher. I like books and I like kids, so put the two together and you have teaching. I didn't know that teaching would be 100 times harder than anything you can do in journalism, even embedded in Iraq. That at least you can escape. But you can't escape the kids. There you are. You're right in front of them, and you have to hold them. And over the 30 years, I began to discover various strategies, and I began to discover that little successes would build, and then I became not happy, but encouraged to stay in the classroom.
So if you were giving advice, here we are in an educational system that veers between breakdown and life support. What kind of advice would you give to teachers? What did you learn in that long career with students? And you were listening to Frank McCourt, whose new book is, his latest book is Teacher Man, now available in paperback.
The educational system, as they call it, has always been a shambles. Nobody at any point in American history ever said, oh, don't we have a wonderful education system? No, not since the Pilgrims. They've complained it all down through the years. They complained about it in the 19th century in New York. All the immigrants came in, the Jewish kids, the Italians, Irish, and so on. They went to school, they learned English, and that was their function. Nobody went to high school. But later on, then we begin to turn our attention to the schools. And most of the criticism of the schools comes from politicians and journalists and scholars who don't go near those schools. They stay away from them, but they're great critics at a distance. I was invited one time up to the New York Times. They have these things. The editorial board meets for lunch. They interview political candidates and so on. One time they invited me up, I suppose, mainly to talk. Although I had published was Angel's Ashes. So they invited me up there and we had lunch. And I said things about the New York Times that didn't make them happy. I said, you don't cover education. You cover Broadway, off-Broadway, off-Broadway. You cover every half-assed team that is going on. And politicians. Now they have an education column once a week, I think. But they do not go into the schools.
If I were to ask you how being a teacher, what you mainly learned from being a teacher, what life's lessons you learned from being a teacher, and how it altered the arc of your life, what would you say?
Well, something happened to me towards the end of my teaching career when a young woman said to me that she was going to start teaching in September, and would I give her any advice? And I said, well, I'm not too good at giving advice. Oscar Wilde said the best thing to do with advice is to pass it along to someone else. But I said, find what you love and do it. That's it. It's as simple as that. If you go into the classroom and you don't and you're not doing something you love, you're dead. It's like any job.
Yeah, the kids are half dead when you have taught in a number of high schools. Some of them with gifted kids who really wanted to learn, and other schools where they were just marking time until juvie, until juvie hall.
I know they were marking time. I mean all that because the so-called teacher training is false, hypothetical. It's absurd. The people who are training teachers can't teach. They're not taken from the high school, the public elementary school, to teach teachers.
What is the main thing you need to be a teacher, to be a successful teacher?
Well, you better have passion. And as I say, find something you love and do it. Remember, Thoreau said, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. You cannot lead in the classroom. You cannot be desperate. You have to be excited. This is what the kids want. You know, teenagers are explosive. They're always on the move. They're always up to something. And you have to understand that. That's something that the teachers of teachers don't teach the teachers about what it's like in the classroom, the chemistry of a classroom, how explosive it is. So you have to understand all of that. And then you have to leave your ego at the door. That's the main thing. Don't get involved don't let your ego get entangled with theirs, because they're out to get you. The function of the young is to push the old off the planet. The Greeks knew that. And once you understand this and you have a sense of humor about it and you say, hey, stop pushing. I'm not finished with the planet. You say things like that. And you almost get on their level. But there's always an understanding. You're the teacher if you can maintain that. Not in any phony way, but you're older, you're there, you're legally in charge, all of this. It's very subtle and it's very complex. And nobody writes about it. You never, never, ever. I wouldn't be here today if I were just a teacher. I'm here because I wrote a book. You rarely invite teachers. One woman on BBC one morning got pissed off because I said, when did you last have a teacher on this show? You know, those Oh, she said, we've had them on. I said, when? And she looked at her partner and then she turned rather sardonically to me, yes, we've had them. But we've had them. She couldn't recall when. That's the faith, that's the image, the standing of teachers in the community.
When you're writing a book, are you still a teacher? Or are you a teller of a story?
I'm a teacher, I can't. When I retired from teaching, I found out that I had to tell myself, shut up. Sometimes I'd be talking to people and say, shut up. Because you get into the habit of it when you're teaching. Standing there, five classes a day. Five days a week. College professors teach three or four classes a week, and then they write these books that are unreadable. And they complain.
So you retire at the age of, was it 65?
No, I retired at 62.
62. Yeah. And then what brings you to write the book? You always thought you wanted to write a book. Now you have some time to do it.
Yeah. The fact is, when I retired from high school teaching, I had to get a job as a college instructor over in Brooklyn because I couldn't meet my expenses. So I was working a few hours a week as a college teacher, which was much easier than high school teaching. But I was always scribbling, ever since the age of 9, I think. Wherever I could find a piece of paper and a pencil, I would scribble something. And I continued that through my adolescence and 20s. I always had notebooks. I was looking at some of them the other day. I'm glad nobody sees this stuff. It was so mawkish and sophomoric, some of my philosophical statements. I think I'll burn them.
Did you keep a journal all the way through your life? Or only when you were young?
Off and on. For the last 40 years, I've kept sporadic journals. But I look at them now, and my favorite line from Hamlet is, and I use this when I look at my journals, why, what an ass am I?
My guest is Frank McCourt, best-selling author. His first book, Angela's Ashes, published when he was 66. His next book, Tiz. His most recent book, Teacher Man, now available in paperback. And we have some autographed copies. We're going to give some away to you today. Oh. If you are good boys and girls,
yeah, that's cool.
And are the right caller, we're going to give away some Teacher Man books. And he's going to be speaking tonight, California Lecture Series at the Crest Theater at 7:30. What are you going to be talking about?
Teaching.
teaching?
Kids, schools, writing, my experience as a teacher, mainly my 30 years in the classroom.
Can I ask you your age now?
76.
Are you working on more? You writing? Are you continuing to write?
I'm writing a novel. I'm trying to write a novel. It ain't easy at this stage to develop a new set of muscles of creativity. So
yeah, but it's a good challenge.
What else am I going
to
do?
It's easier than doing crossword puzzles to save off Alzheimer's or to swim, which is what they're saying.
If I were younger, it would be wine, women, and song, but I can still taste the wine.
And thank God for Viagra. Talk to me about writing. Talk to me about what you need to know to be a writer or to be a successful writer.
I don't know about
You talked about being a teacher. Yeah. I sort of started out life as a writer. Yeah. Occasionally I review books, but that's a really horrible thing to do to a book, to review it. Really.
Unless you want to praise it. I could never write negative stuff about a writer.
But what I do in talk radio requires amping it out every day. And every day I have 4 hours of amping out 5 days a week to do.
Yeah.
For me, being a writer is you have to be very interior, and you have to listen to when the door is open for what's coming through, and you get really absorbed in it, and it's a very different thing from amping it out, and it takes a while to get back down in there again. So I cannot really do the two very well. When I'm doing talk radio, I don't write as much, or I don't write very much at all. So what would you say to somebody like me, or many people think they can write or want to write or have the intention, just as you did all the years that you were teaching?
It has to be a niche that must be scratched. There has to be this terrible urge to tell a story of some kind or other, or to tell a story or to make some kind of a point. I've always wanted to write for years and years and years.
But did you know what you wanted to write about, or did you just only know that you wanted to write?
First of all, I knew I wanted to write, but then I knew, because the kids in my classes, the Stives in McKee High School and so on, would ask me questions about my life, and I didn't want to write about my shameful, sordid, poverty-stricken life, my alcoholic father. So I didn't want to write that. I thought that wasn't proper or appealing subject matter. So the kids used to ask me about my life, and I'd tell them some things about my life, and they seemed to be interested. They were interested. Actually, half of it was keeping me away from any lesson I might be planning and teaching, and the other half was sincere that they wanted to know about my life. So I would tell them these stories, and as the years passed, these stories became some of them. That I didn't tell them everything that's in the three books that I've written. Some of the stories I told them by telling and retelling, they become refined to the point where when I did sit down to write Angel's Ashes, the stories were already formed in my little head. So and I write as far as routine is concerned, when I'm not traveling, it's an early morning. It's an early morning, 5 o'clock a.m. activity when the head is clear. In the evening, I like to read, but in the morning, I like to write. And then I get up at 5, and about 9, I make the coffee, give my wife her coffee in the bed. And she's a very lucky woman that she has the perfect husband giving her the coffee in the bed. The day after I won the Pulitzer Prize, I said to her, as we sat up on the bed, when we woke up, I said, "How does it feel?" I said, "To have your head in the same pillow as a Pulitzer Prize winner." She said, "I feel much better if you got up and made the coffee." Just because you won the Pulitzer Prize doesn't excuse you from making the coffee. That's the kind of respect I get at home. And then we were traveling promoting the book, and she's 20 years younger than me. And she, one day we were in Chicago, and she said she was tired. I said, "Tired? What are you talking about?" I said, I'm 20 years older than you, and I said, "I think I'm going to have to get two young ones, one for business and one for sex." Well, she said the one for sex will be underemployed. So,
I guess this Frank McCorn, his new book is Teacher Man, now out in paperback, and he's going to be at the Crest Theater tonight. What is an unexpected downside of success? Now you've had this success in your life, literary success, and financial success that accompanies it. And what was the part of that success? And it comes at a time in your life when, you know, you're not 20.
Yeah.
And so presumably you have the tools to handle the UCSF, University of California, San Francisco. A few years ago, all these psychiatrists got together and they had a panel discussion on the stress of success.
Oh.
So I'm going to ask you, what has the stress of success been? Too many invitations to speak?
Yeah.
Many projects?
A million. Well, as soon as I finished Angel's Ashes, I started on Tiz. I wrote Angel's Ashes mostly in a little house in Pennsylvania. Tiz I wrote everywhere. I was on the road promoting. And I wrote in trains, planes, buses, sitting on the pot, everywhere. And then around the same time, the movie of Angel's Ashes came out. And all of this stuff was huge for me. It was a shock to the system. I was the new kid on the block. I hardly knew her. And then I was meeting people. I went to a party in Los Angeles one night, a benefit for the public library there, and somebody said to me, would you like to meet Gregory Peck? I said, Jesus, would I like to meet Gregory Peck, the hero of all my days. And I got up and I was walking across the floor with this woman who was about to introduce me to him. He comes walking towards me, he stops and tells me how much he admires my work. And I hardly knew what to say. My jaw was dropping open. And this is the kind of... You meet these people who are fantasy creatures. And this is one of the things. And then, you know, I've been invited to parties where you meet all these A-list celebrities and so on.
And what are they like?
They're very natural. That's the part of it. That's the part of it that knocked me out, how natural most people were. Or even tormented. For instance, my late friend Bill Stern, he'd been
depressed,
terribly. You have no idea of the misery that he was in the last few years. We saw him just sinking and becoming a shell. So that he had Parkinson's disease, cancer of the jaw, and all this. So then, and I would go up to see him, but his mind was still active. But that should have taught me a lesson about depression. But when you're teaching. When you're in front of the class over there, you can't get depressed. Or if you do, you're dead. You have to be up with them. You know, it's the kind of business you're in. Mm-hmm. You can't come slouching in as well. I ain't feeling good. Do you mind if we have 4 hours of silence? I'll play some music.
Well, we were just doing a story before you arrived, the Wall Street Journal reporting on a new phenomenon in churches where the pastors cruise these websites, sermons.com, desperatepreachers.com, and they pinch sermons, and they don't credit the writer of the sermon. So I'm thinking there should be a similar service for radio talk hosts. So when we are so depressed that we're thinking of slitting our ankles because it's too much trouble to reach our wrists, we will have an alternative here.
Why don't you play the collected sermons of the Reverend, what's his name, Haggard?
Oh, the
Just
Haggard.
Just play his sermons, yeah.
You know, Haggard, there was a wonderful story about him in Harper's Magazine in which he abhors scandal secrets and things like that. And he says this. This is published a year and a half before his denouement. So... I'm getting you. You have a Bay Area connection. Your brother was always written about in Herb Cain's column.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a bartender at the Washbag, the Washington Square Bar and Grill. Yeah. It's your brother, Mike.
Yeah. He's been on the West Coast for about 40 years. He first went to Los Angeles. That didn't agree with him, sorry. Then Perry was opening that bar on Union Street, so Mike went up there. And he's been around ever since.
And doing what in Union Street?
He's working the bar. He's working the bar and being the local philosopher, Washington Square philosopher at the Washington Square Bar and Grill. So if you go in there, tell him you met me, and he said, get lost.
He will?
Yeah.
Well, for a while, he was a famous brother.
No, that was Malachi, the one in New York.
Malachi's the actor.
Yeah, he's the actor. He's the actor and the writer and so on.
Well,
he's something of a character. He used to be a big drinker and all that, but now he's a vegetarian.
Frank McCord, it has been a great pleasure to talk to you today.
You.
And Frank McCord, appearing tonight at the Crest Theater at 7:30, part of the California Lecture Series. His newest book is Teacher Man. It is now available in paperback, and we have a number of signed copies that we're going to give away to some of you who are lucky and would love some good want to savor some good writing. You'll find it there. Frank McCord, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We do have lows tonight, right around, looks like 43, 44. Highs tomorrow around 69. Our traffic, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road, slowed down there just a little bit. It looks like northbound Cap City Freeway, Arden Way, and a Marconi. We have a 2 and 3 car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort, Scott and Sim.
Opening bids?
Like Christie's in New York.
Any more?
Yes.
No. Yeah, that's just lame. Mm. You know, but we have a real auctioneer on the line with us, Keith McClain.
A real auctioneer is like me are in danger of being put out of work by guys like
that. All I can do is just kind of, I mean, that's all I can. Keith, would you do just a little bit?
330 right there now, 340 back in, 340 right there now, 350 back in. Andy, in your rented apartment.
A
watching,
buck.
Go on.
Scott and Sims, mornings, 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, citizens of the world. Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference. Make a difference.
If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
Small business owners understand how far you will go to show a customer how much you value their business. At AT&T, we want to show that commitment to you. For less than $95 a month, get AT&T unlimited local calling, nationwide long distance, high-speed internet, and unified messaging, a service that consolidates messages from your email, fax, office phone, and wireless phone into a single mailbox. That's an 18% savings for the first year on our most essential services, backed by the most complete and secure network of the new AT&T. AT&T, the only provider you'll ever need. Call your AT&T small business expert at 1-888-ATT-8339 or go to att.com. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
Available to businesses with 1 to 10 lines. Requires 1-year term. Taxes and other charges extra. For details of additional charges and requirements, call 888-288-1405 toll-free.
The crisp of a fall morning, the winds of season change, the crackle of an evening fire in your home hearth, and the warmth of wood floors, Brazilian cherry, orchard walnut, Australian chestnut, just in time for the holidays. Now, today, you can have the luxury of hardwood floors, which are eco-friendly and only available at Green Sacramento. Hardwood floors from Eco Timber allow you to make a sustainable choice without sacrificing quality or value, at prices competitive with the big box stores. Now, today, you need to shop Green Sacramento, Fulton, and Alta Arden. You can have the warmth of hardwood floors in your home by the holidays. An Eco Timber floor is a healthy choice for your home and an eco-friendly choice for our forest, and they are only at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Now, today, you can have Eco Timber hardwood floors installed in your home by the holidays, where beauty, quality, and the best environmental practices come together to create a solid investment in your home. Now, today, make the stop. Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Are you having any fun?
Come into Safeway today for terrific prices on turkeys. With your club card, get Grade A Manor House frozen turkeys up to 16 pounds, just $5.99 each. Over 16 pounds, just $7.99 each. Plus, get honeysuckle turkeys up to 16 pounds, just $7.99 each. Over 16 pounds, just $9.99 each. Limit 2 while supplies last. Safeway guarantees the lowest price on USDA Grade A frozen turkeys. We'll match any competitor's price. Restrictions apply. Start thawing your turkey today to make the exclusive Safeway 2-hour turkey recipe. Plus, get great side dish recipes. Pick up the 4 tools needed to create the 2-hour turkey and receive $3 off. Today, either in-store with your club card or online at Safeway.com, California-grown seedless clementine mandarin oranges are $4.99 for a 5-pound box. Plus, get Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream in 1 3/4 quarts. Selected varieties are buy one, get one of equal or lesser value free. And check out our special holiday hours.
Are you having any fun?
Safeway, ingredients for life.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 4:35 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. And if you have just joined us, you have missed a wonderful author. You've missed Frank McCourt, but you can see him tonight at the Crest Theater, and he will be there at 7:30. And you have to buy a ticket, of course, but I think you'll have a wonderful evening. He's just a terrific raconteur, and he's a wonderful writer. And we have some copies of Teacher Man that we'll be giving away throughout the show today. So we are well, you have to listen, and they're signed copies. These two, as a matter of fact. So aren't we lucky? So we'll be doing that. They're in paperback, and I've been looking at the book. It's just a lovely book. What we were talking about earlier, let me just tell you what we were talking about earlier, and then we will add to the conversation. We have been talking about the sermons that you hear at your house of worship that you think are coming from your clergy, but not necessarily. They're going online. They're picking it up from DesperatePreachers.com or Sermons.com or things like that, and it's not their work. Now, one minister who thinks that this is just fine to use this stuff and to not say a word about it, that it's just fine, that it's a better product than anything he could have come up with, and he doesn't feel the need to credit whoever the original writer was of the sermon. I think this is dishonest. It may not be illegal, but I think it's unethical. And, you know, you go to a house of worship, it is all held to a higher standard, don't you think? And if we are going to a house of worship, it's because we are interested in issues of morality. It's because we're looking for uplift and inspiration. It's because we want to be elevated to a higher plane in our daily lives, and we want to be reminded of that. And you don't want to be you don't want your clergy person to be somebody who's pinching sermons and not saying anything about it. It sort of demeans everything, I think. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And if things haven't gotten bad enough, I mean, this is the beginning and the end of everything, then here it is. We're in a universe where you go to a house of worship, and you might be listening to a plagiarized or pinched sermon, and nobody's saying anything about it. And now, the Golden Gate Bridge is exploring corporate sponsorship. Now, I don't know if you're going to see, 3Com Bridge or Pac Bell Bridge or what to close a persistent budget deficit. The Golden Gate Bridge District's 19-member board of directors is expected tomorrow to approve the hiring of a consultant to turn the district's assets into revenue generators. I don't know how that's going to play out exactly, but we are in a universe where if you go, the bottom line is the bottom line. And so when you go to a house of worship and you're hoping for some exemption from the bottom line, when you're going to a house of worship and you are hoping for an an uplift from the usual bottom line, business as usual, when you're hoping for inspiration, when you're hoping to be reminded of the right path, what you encounter is a clergyman who might be, very well likely is, filching his or her sermons from the web, from the internet. And now you're going to drive across the Golden Gate Bridge where everything is, politicians are for sale. And now the Golden Gate Bridge, the one beautiful asset that so far hasn't been sullied by a suicide barrier. That's another source of controversy. And we've talked about that documentary that's been playing in Sacramento, also in San Francisco, called The Bridge, Tracking Bridge Suicides. So there's been a huge controversy about whether or not you want to sully the bridge with a suicide barrier and will it work or not. And those of you who have called in on the subject who know a little something about suicide feel that it wouldn't work at all and it would ruin the aesthetics. 349-1320. 866-626-1320 now might find yourselves confronting the possibility of a Golden Gate Bridge that what? Will it have neon signs? Will it have billboards on the toll booths? What are the ways, corporate sponsorships and naming rights? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to consist of. I'm really, there are some things that you are sorry to see happen in the way that they're happening, and I know they need the money, but still, maybe there's a better way of doing it. Wes, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Wes. Wes?
About the Golden Gate problem, you mentioned that there was 19 members of the committee that was trying to decide.
Of the Bridge District.
And that may be part of the problem.
Why?
Having 19 members, what could they possibly agree on?
Well, I'm guessing they'll figure. I'm guessing they're used to working together. They've been working together for a long time.
We have so much bureaucracy, and what a.
But what's your thought about naming rights and corporate sponsorship of the Golden Gate Bridge? It would be like corporate sponsorship of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Today is the day that Milton Friedman died.
Yeah.
And boy, didn't. I guess maybe we never paid much attention to him. But he told us, what happens when the bureaucracy gets out of control and stuff like that. And we've seen it with the Republicans, we've seen it before with the Democrats. Now we've seen it in spades with Republicans. Just let these guys have a little bit of power, and they're off to the races, and they're overspending, and then they're coming back and asking and telling us that they need more money. This is going to happen everywhere.
All right, but we're talking about the bridge and the naming right, the possibility of naming rights for the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know how likely that's going to be. I think there'll be too much screaming if that ever comes to pass. But certainly they're exploring the possibility of corporate sponsorship. I thank you, Wes, for the call. I think I'm saddened to hear it. I mean, maybe that's all they've got. What they're using as an example is the Statue of Liberty Restoration Project. So you had people, you didn't have signs or logos stuck on the Statue of Liberty. They're saying we're not going to be hanging banners on the bridge. No company is going to invest money in a sponsorship that's just going to cause a lot of flack in the community. But what are they going to want for their money? And what could the Golden Gate Bridge possibly offer them that doesn't trash the bridge? So the bridge is wonderful. For years I lived 5 minutes from the bridge. And any place I had to go in the city, I had to take the bridge in. And, you have to pay it's an admission charge into the city. It's $5 now to get, as you very well know, $5 to get into the city if you're coming in via the Golden Gate Bridge. Only $3 if you're coming in via the Bay Bridge. But those East Bay drivers are nuts. They are so hard to deal with. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So, you know what? We are in a universe where ministers are filching for free. And no naming rights there, filching sermons off the net and never sharing with the congregation that's where they've gotten it. And they think it's perfectly fine. I don't think it's fine at all. I think it's unethical, actually. And then you have the Golden Gate Bridge exploring corporate sponsorship. It's all for sale. It's all out there. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left. With Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Well, our traffic is a little bit slow on southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. We do have a car crash northbound I-5, slowing things down just a little bit right there by J Street. And coming back over Cap City Freeway, northbound just by Arden Way, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
The Future Automotive Group is overstocked with pre-owned vehicles. Take advantage of their year-end clearance and shop from the comfort of home at FutureAutomotiveGroup.com.
The Randy Rhoads.
Congratulations, everybody. There is going to be actual oversight where there used to just be overlook. No more of that crap. Yeah, he can go full speed ahead as long as he wants to, this president, but we are the brakes. That's what we are now. We're the freaking brakes on that runaway train. And rummy collateral damage.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weekdays noon to 3 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is News 10 Now. I'm Christina Mendonca. We're seeing pictures now from Crescent City after a small tsunami surge hit the Northern California coast yesterday. It was caused by an earthquake off the coast of Japan and has caused $700,000 worth of damage. Boats were knocked over and docks were destroyed by 5-foot waves. Thankfully, no one was hurt. The Marine Toys for Tots program has decided to accept a donation of talking Jesus dolls for gifts. Earlier this week, they declined the dolls, but now said they have places for them. More at 5 on News 10.
Small business owners understand how far you will go to show a customer how much you value their business. At AT&T, we want to show that commitment to you. For less than $95 a month, get AT&T unlimited local calling, nationwide long distance, high-speed internet, and unified messaging, a service that consolidates messages from your email, fax, office phone, and wireless phone into a single mailbox. That's an 18% savings for the first year on our most essential services, backed by the most complete and secure network of the new AT&T. AT&T, the only provider you'll ever need. Call your AT&T small business expert at 1-888-ATT-8339 or go to att.com. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
Available to businesses with 1 to 10 lines. Requires 1-year term. Taxes and other charges extra. For details of additional charges and requirements, call 888-288-1405 toll free.
The crisp of a fall morning. The winds of season change. The crackle of an evening fire in your home hearth. And the warmth of wood floors. Brazilian cherry, orchard walnut, Australian chestnut, just in time for the holidays. Now, today, you can have the luxury of hardwood floors, which are eco-friendly and only available at Green Sacramento. Hardwood floors from Eco Timber allow you to make a sustainable choice without sacrificing quality or value. At prices competitive with the big box stores. Now, today, you need to shop Green Sacramento, Fulton, at Alta Arden. You can have the warmth of hardwood floors in your home by the holidays. An Eco Timber floor is a healthy choice for your home and an eco-friendly choice for our forest, and they are only at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Now, today, you can have Eco Timber hardwood floors installed in your home by the holidays, where beauty, quality, and the best environmental practices come together to create a solid investment in your home. Now, today, make the stop. Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
447 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's exploring corporate sponsorship. Everything is for sale. We're also talking about the Wall Street Journal reporting on this phenomenon. You know, you go to a house of worship and you get this uplifting, inspiring, a sermon, and very often it's not from the person preaching the sermon. He or she got it off of a website. Clergy don't feel the need to credit it. If you tried this in the academic world, it would never fly. You'd be fired. And if you were a reporter, if you're in journalism, And you plagiarize, that's it. And they find out, you're toast. Well, even if they don't find out, you should be toast, just because it's the wrong thing to do. And, you know, I'm reporting to you that this is something that the Wall Street Journal covered. I'm letting you know what my sources are. And here's the Golden Gate Bridge, exploring possibilities of corporate sponsorship. Neon signs blinking through the fog-shrouded towers, billboards on the toll booths. Not to worry, say the managers of the Golden Gate Bridge, although they are hiring a company to explore the money-making potential of the bridge, and any commercial deals that result would be done, quote, tastefully and sensitively. People hear corporate sponsorship and they immediately think naming rights, the three con Golden Gate Bridge, the Pac Bell Golden Gate Bridge, the Mike in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. Nice to talk to you, as usual.
Thank you.
I wanted to pass along to you, you know, that I've been listening to what you're saying about the corporate sponsorship of what are American icons like the Golden Gate Bridge and preachers that have to go online to get their sermons and this overwhelming ocean of phoniness that we're drowning in that we seem to have embraced as our national ethos. And I was thinking of the story that I saw this morning in the Bee, where the Department of Agriculture puts out a report every year that's used to be called the Hunger Index.
Yeah.
And now they're not going to use the word hunger anymore. They're going to talk about those with very low food security.
So they, with one sweep of the language pen, they have wiped out hunger entirely.
Isn't that Orwellian? And not only that.
Well, a few years ago, let me jump in here. A few years ago, they wiped out slums in the same way by, I think they called them low income. I mean, it was like 10 words to do what slums used to do.
Right.
And they got rid of slums in the same magical, transformative way, yes.
Right. And I was thinking that when these preachers go online from now on to get their sermons, you know, they're going to have to rewrite the Bible because they'll have to talk about, rather than feeding the hungry, feeding those with very low food security. You know, or maybe here in Sacramento, every year we can have the run to feed those with very low food security, you know, rather than to feed the hungry.
That's right.
And they're murdering the language, and it seems that these bleeding sheep out there that are my fellow citizens largely don't even seem to even acknowledge that this is going on and that it's like a wholesale murder of the English language right in front of them in slow motion.
I could not agree with you more. I think you've made an excellent point, Mike, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320. And I also saw, I'm going to jump in and play off of what Mike just said. There was a story in the New York Times today, and here's the headline of the story. Most students in big cities lag badly in basic science. A test find even a lack of the rudiments. I mean, no, people are lagging. And I'm thinking, you know, never has more information about anything been more easily available. It doesn't matter what it is. Science, we have never had more easy sources of information available. And my question is, how do we get this dumb? We are so dumb, we're plagiarizing sermons. We're selling everything that we possibly can, the naming rights, you name it. Whatever we can get a few bucks for, we're going to do it. John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
You know what? I have a different take on this because I love it that they're doing this. Because what are they doing? They're selling salvation to these people, and most of the people are...
Who are you talking about? You're talking about ministers, clergy.
Yeah.
They're selling salvation to the people, and so why muss up your hair manufacturing it yourself when you can pinch it off the web?
Yeah, hey, it's great. I mean, most of these people that go to church, and I know of quite a few, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They go there, they think they're absolved of all the crimes that they made that they commit during the week.
And then they're sitting in the clutches of a clergy person who just pinched a sermon, telling him not to steal. John, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from From the Left with Lisa West.
Well, same as before, I'll tell you what, South by 99 is just nice and slow. They're right by Fruit Ridge Road. Coming back 50 and the Octopus there, you know, when it interchanges back onto Cap City Freeway. We have a two-car crash stopping things down there. Even you can take the 160, and I think it might be even better if you go back down around or even by the Capitol. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
The Future Automotive Group is overstocked with pre-owned vehicles. Take advantage of their year-end clearance and shop from the comfort of home at futureautomotivegroup.com.
The Randy Rhoads.
Congratulations, everybody. There is going to be actual oversight where there used to just be overlook. No more of that crap. Yeah, he can go full speed ahead as long as he wants to, this president, but we are the brakes. That's what we are now. We're the freaking brakes on that runaway train. And rummy collateral damage.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weekdays noon to 3 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is News 10 Now. I'm Christina Mendonca. We're seeing pictures now from Crescent City after a small tsunami surge hit the Northern California coast yesterday. It was caused by an earthquake off the coast of Japan and has caused $700,000 worth of damage. Boats were knocked over and docks were destroyed by 5-foot waves. Thankfully, no one was hurt. The Marine Toys for Tots program has decided to accept a donation of talking Jesus dolls for gifts. Earlier this week, they declined the dolls, but now said they have places for them. More at 5 on News 10.
Small business owners understand how far you will go to show a customer how much you value their business. At AT&T, we want to show that commitment to you. For less than $95 a month, get AT&T unlimited local calling, nationwide long distance, high-speed internet, and unified messaging, a service that consolidates messages from your email, fax, office phone, and wireless phone into a single mailbox. That's an 18% savings for the first year on our most essential services, backed by the most complete and secure network of the new AT&T. AT&T, the only provider you'll ever need. Call your AT&T small business expert at 1-888-ATT-8339 or go to att.com. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
Available to businesses with 1 to 10 lines. Requires 1-year term. Taxes and other charges extra. For details of additional charges and requirements, call 888-288-1405 toll-free.
The crisp of a fall morning. The winds of season change. The crackle of an evening fire in your home hearth. And the warmth of wood floors. Brazilian cherry, orchard walnut, Australian chestnut, just in time for the holidays. Now, today, you can have the luxury of hardwood floors, which are eco-friendly and only available at Green Sacramento. Hardwood floors from Echo Timber allow you to make a sustainable choice without sacrificing quality or value. At prices competitive with the big box stores. Now, today, you need to shop Green Sacramento, Fulton, at Alta Arden. You can have the warmth of hardwood floors in your home by the holidays. An Echo Timber floor is a healthy choice for your home and an eco-friendly choice for our forest, and they are only at Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden. Now, today, you can have Echo Timber hardwood floors installed in your home by the holidays, where beauty, quality, and the best environmental practices come together to create a solid investment in your home. Now, today, make the stop. Green Sacramento, Fulton at Alta Arden, or on the web at greensacramento.com.
Line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
.456 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We just have a couple of more seconds left, so let's go quickly to the phones. And Brenda in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I just wanted to say that it would never occur to me to have plagiarized my master's thesis like this pastor did.
There's a whole bunch of pastors doing it, and they think some of them think it's just perky as can be.
I know. I don't understand where they think they're coming from, that they're not going to be caught. If my pastor ever did that in my church, she and I would have a talk.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, but these people think it's just fine. They don't think they have to credit anybody. They think if these sermons that they can get online are, quote, a better product, then they're happy.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320LeftChannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The U.S. military in southern Iraq is searching right now for four American contractors. They're among the people missing after a convoy bringing in supplies from Kuwait was ambushed at a checkpoint south of Basra. It's not clear whether it was a real checkpoint or a trap set by Shiite militiamen. In Baghdad today, Iraq's Shiite-led Interior Ministry issued a warrant for the arrest of the Sunni minority's leading cleric. He's accused of inciting terrorism and violence. Yesterday, at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, a soldier admitted his role in a terrible crime in Iraq. Today, as CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports, he drew a stiff sentence.
Lieutenant Colonel Ed Loomis speaks for the 101st Airborne.
The military judge adjudged a sentence of life with eligibility for parole and dishonorable discharge.
Dabbing at tears on the witness stand, Specialist James Barker said, quote, I want the people of Iraq to know that I did not go there to do these terrible things. He's agreed to testify against four other current and former soldiers accused in the same rape and murder of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and the murders of her family. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Chris Batten, the sheriff in Columbus County, North Carolina, says this morning's tornado totally demolished an area half a mile wide and nearly a mile long. Mobile homes were smashed and eight people died.
When you have a community devastated such as this, it really touches you at your heart. You have to keep these people in your hearts and your prayers.
The twister was spawned by a powerful storm system that's blamed for at least 12 deaths across the South. But Brian Mims of CBS television affiliate WRAL says Riegelwood, North Carolina got the worst of it by far.
This was a very localized storm. It hit this one area, this one immediate area, and wreaked havoc on homes.
Governor Mike Easley wants to keep the curious away.
Often after an event, sightseers want to get out. Please stay home today. Let the first responders do their work.
He's worried about flash floods from the heavy rain. The storm system's moving into the northeast this evening. Armed with cash, credit cards, and fortitude, people are lined up outside retailers across the country waiting for Sony's new PlayStation 3 to go on sale at midnight. This guy in Tampa called in sick to make sure he doesn't miss out.
I'm off work now. I called in one day. I took one day off. I was off too, so had to get a day start early because there was a line already going.
In Mount Laurel, New Jersey, a woman who's 9 months pregnant says she's trying to ignore her contractions but might just give birth on the sidewalk. Many of those in line plan to resell the video game console. One young man in New York says he's been offered $1,500, but he's holding out for at least $3,000. Another record on Wall Street today. The Dow Industrial's up 54 points to close at 12,305. The Nasdaq 6 points higher, and the price of oil fell by $2.50 a barrel to $56.26. This is CBS News.
Stocking hat?
Check.
Ice scraper?
Check.
Goodyear tires with triple tread technology?
Huh?
Are you prepared for winter driving? If not, get any weather traction from Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. Now on sale. Plus, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card when you buy four select Goodyear tires, including triple treads, or double it to $80 when you use a Goodyear credit card. Be prepared this winter and save big on all Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. These offers end December 2nd, 2006. Offer subject to credit approval. See your participating Goodyear retailer for complete details.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Next stop, Hanoi, for President Bush. It's the centerpiece of his Asia tour.
I'm Peter Mayer in Singapore. Heading into a weekend summit with other leaders arriving in Vietnam, President Bush has a laundry list of challenges.
We must find the energy to power our growing economies. We must counter the risk of pandemic disease. And we must bring more people into the circle of development and prosperity.
He's emphasizing free trade, an issue that's already testing his clout at home. Other summit leaders will likely gauge the impact of the Democratic congressional victories on Mr. Bush's own standing. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Singapore.
School officials in Shiloh, Illinois are standing firm against the protests of some elementary school parents who object to a picture book titled And Tango Makes Three. It's about two male penguins raising a baby penguin. The book is based on the true story of two penguins at New York Central Park Zoo who adopted an egg and raised the chick as their own. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Local and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to hour three of Enid Live. I'm yours from 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. We've been talking about a number of things, and if you are just joining us, you have missed a wonderful guest, Frank McCourt, Pulitzer Prize winning author, newest book, Teacher Man. Be speaking tonight at the Crest Theater, 7:30. Go buy a ticket. But we have some signed copies of his book that we will be giving away throughout the rest of the broadcast today. So we're bribing you to listen, because God knows my conversation is not going to be sufficiently intriguing. Oh, just kidding. I hope I'm just kidding. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, in case your conversation is much more intriguing than mine, and probably that's the case. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And we're talking about a number of things. Most recently, we are talking about these pastors who go online and they pinch these sermons. They don't tell anybody that they're doing it. They don't feel the need to tell anybody that they're doing it. I also want to add to the conversation. We have been talking a lot about, we've been talking a lot about gay everything, haven't we? And in South Africa, they have okayed gay marriage. We know that there are, we talked yesterday about the Catholic Church. They have new guidelines for gays. If you are gay, you can be a member of the church, but you have to be celibate. You have to be chaste. And you can't tell anybody except your closest friends and family and just a few close supporters in the church. They don't want you to tell anybody. And one of the Baptist conventions are going after churches that they think are too gay-friendly. Well, I bring all that up. We have discussed that yesterday because, guess what? There are homosexual animals. They are gay. There are actual gay animals, and they are now coming out of the closet. From male killer whales that ride the dorsal fin of another male, to female bonobos, is that how we say it, that rub their genitals together. The animal kingdom tolerates all kinds of lifestyles. There is now a brand new museum display called Against Nature, which opened last month in Norway. It presents 51 species of animals exhibiting homosexuality. Homosexuality has been observed in more than 1,500 species, and the phenomenon has been well described for 500 of them, said the project coordinator of the exhibition. The idea, however, is rarely discussed in the scientific community and is often dismissed as unnatural because it doesn't appear to benefit the larger cause of species continuation. I think to some extent people don't think it's important because we went through all this time period in sociobiology where everything had to be tied to reproduction and reproductive success, said the person who heads the Department of Anthropology at one university. She says it doesn't have something to do with if it doesn't have something to do with reproduction, then it's not considered important. So you have, science is looking at various species, and there are 1,500 species who exhibit homosexuality. So if that's the case, then isn't this the argument against a lifestyle choice argument that is made by people who think that if you're gay, you should go into therapy? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, animals are gay. There are straight animals, there are gay animals. And here's what they also found out. There are not very many animals who are monogamous. Many animals, there are a few who mate for life, but not very many. Mostly they're not too monogamous. So I don't know what I don't know what argument you want to make about that, but there it is. And so, adding that to the conversation, homosexual animals are now coming out of the closet. But here's the problem. I don't think a lot of animals know that there is a closet, and they probably don't even know that they have been locked in the closet for a while. But now it's coming out, and now people are being more aware of it because The scientific community doesn't talk about it a whole lot, but there's now an exhibition scheduled, and it happens to be in another country. South Africa Parliament has okayed gay marriages. The South Africa Parliament this week approved new legislation recognizing gay marriages, a first for a continent where homosexuality is largely taboo. Well, there are not too many places in this country where we are recognizing gay marriage. What, a couple of states and that's it? So in South Africa, a continent where homosexuality is taboo, gay marriages are being recognized. Talk to me about what this trend means. Is there a greater acceptance of people's range of behavior, do you think, with some people kicking and screaming as a result? Is that what's going on? And here's another story that I think we need to talk about. This is a guy who is 20 years old. He is an alleged venison lover. He lives in Wisconsin. And he is facing charges. This is an amazing story. He's facing charges that he had sex last month with a dead deer. He has previously served time for killing a horse that he intended to sexually assault. Now, I think it must not be too easy to sexually assault a horse, unless it's dead, I guess. But I don't know how they determined that he was going to kill that horse instead of for horse meat, instead of for dog food, that he was going to sexually assault the horse. But I don't know all the details. But in any event, what happened was that he has served time for killing the horse that he intended to sexually assault. He allegedly found a deer in a ditch along a roadway, and now his attorney has filed a court motion arguing that since the animal was already dead, his client, whose name is James Hathaway and who's 20 years old, should not face a misdemeanor rap of sexual gratification with an animal because the statute does not prohibit somebody from having sex with a carcass. In response to the attorney's motion, the prosecutor noted that state criminal statutes did not seem to draw a line between the living and the dead. So this is now this is now gone to trial. The question is, can you get deer with a dead deer? Or do you say, not tonight, deer? I once worked in my early days of talk radio, and some of you may have heard the show. I once did a gardening show. And it was with the late, great Bert Bertolaro. Did you remember Bert? Some of you who are Bay Area denizens, he was on gardening shows for a long, long time. And my job was to, you know, help him get into and out of the calls. He was a gardening expert, of course. And I did. You know, I like to garden, but I'm just sort of a hobbyist gardener. But he's the one that you call for all the expertise about gardening, and of course he was very good at it. And by then he was, you know, in his 70s or 80s. I think he said he was in his 70s, and then he died shortly thereafter, and then turned out he was in his 80s. So that's when I first realized that even men lie about their age. In any event, but he was a dear, dear, lovely, lovely man, and maybe I got that wrong about the age part. But in any event, people would call in with all these gardening questions. And one of the questions that kept coming up was, oh, Bert, the squirrels are eating my garden. What do I do about that? And I would always say something like, oh, I'll put up a picture of a squirrel jacket. And, you know, so I was providing a little color on the gardening show. And I remember people would call in all the time because one of the big gardening issues was the deer are eating my garden or my flowers, my roses, my this, my that, I forget what. So I said, well, put up a sign that says, not tonight, deer. Well, here it is. Not tonight, deer. Can you get deer with a dead deer? Here's a guy who's facing charges that he had sex last month with a dead deer. Now, I don't know who saw him. I don't know how anybody would know that he had sex with a dead deer. But according to the statute, there's no law against having sex with a carcass. And since the deer was already dead, it may be that he didn't do anything against the law. Previously, he has served time for killing a horse that he intended to sexually assault. Now, he killed the horse, and how did anybody know he was going to sexually assault the horse? Did he actually sexually assault the horse? Well, according to the documents I have, he was intending to sexually assault the horse. So maybe they have some evidence of some sort. I mean, this is a guy who's clearly got some real problems here, clearly liking to get engaged in interspecies dating. But there it is. Can you get deer with a dead deer? 349-1320. We're talking about, I guess, sex right now, for the moment. Homosexual animals are out of the closet. In South Africa, the Parliament in South Africa has okayed gay marriage. And what's extraordinary about that is that a continent, the continent of Africa, is a place where homosexuality is largely taboo. So in our country, we can't get our heads around it too much, but in South Africa, they are able to do more than we are, apparently. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Ethan in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ethan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, I was just sort of chewing this over, and I find it, I've heard about this, the gay animal phenomenon for some time. I mean, it's something that biologists have been aware of for quite a while, but it's whether or not it achieves any sort of recognition in Western society, or at least in our society, is another matter entirely. Because it provides really a biological explanation, or I wouldn't even necessarily say justification, but it shows that in nature, yes, homosexuality is real, it's natural, it occurs in about 33% of animals. So therefore, it may not necessarily be against God's law, or whatever somebody would have to spout scripture at you about. Which, of course.
Well, but if they want to spout scripture against you for being gay, they can always pull it off the internet and pinch it from some of these sermons, desperatepreacher.com websites, and it's a canned sermon ready to rock and roll. So you have that going as well, Ethan.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, and this is the thing that a lot of heathen beaters would not like to acknowledge, but the fact is that you can find scriptural justification for any kind of oppression that you want to levy. I mean, you can find something. I'm sure that the Inquisition was using the New Testament when they were getting people. Like there's a quote from scripture that goes, "If there be a man who does not acknowledge me as God, bring that man before me and slay him before me."
You can justify anything, I think, probably. I'm no biblical scholar, but it's always been my impression. So, we were talking earlier about a lot of ministers who talk about issues that are really their own issues. They're just projecting. What would a shrink say about Ted Haggard, who says he couldn't stand scandals and secrets, and that's what he indulged in? I mean, what would they say? What would be the term for that? Projecting it outward? Would that be the term for it?
Yeah, projection. That's the exact term that is used by psychologists. My mother's a psychologist.
Well,
she always used those things on me.
Yeah, so there you are, Ethan. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Farshad in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm getting really tired of this subject. It seems like every time that I turn the radio on, this 1320, everybody's talking about this gay thing. I mean, what is this? I turned the radio on in the morning, and Scott and Sima are talking about gays, and it keeps coming up. And then now I turn it on, and then here you are again, and I keep hearing. I'm getting
Farshad. Let me ask you a question. I am doing 4 hours a day. Where were you in the first 2 hours when we were talking about other
working.
Things? You were working.
Working.
Well, why were you working when you could have been listening to Enid live?
Well, sorry about that.
Well, so don't call me up and give me hell because you were working. For 2 hours, we were talking about other things. You turning in at the wrong time.
I guess so. Okay.
And like the weather in certain states, the subjects change here pretty frequently because we are a flea market of ideas. So is my perky phone call for you, from you today, Farshad, is you're calling up to give your goddess hell? Is that the story here?
I'm tired of it.
What do you want to talk about? You're tired of it, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, talk about whatever. Talk about weather.
Talk about the weather. Talk about animals.
Talk about Israel. Talk about what's going on. Talk about Russia.
I want to ask you, why are you so threatened by a conversation about homosexuality, Farshad? What would Freud say about this, Farshad?
I wouldn't call it threatening. I don't find it threatening. I just think it's...
Well, you're threatened or you wouldn't be calling up to give me hell like that.
Well, no, because I'm getting tired. Like I said,
I think you're threatened. That's my diagnosis, and that would be $130, please.
Yes. I'm one of those,
Stay away from Pastor Ted. That's all I can say, Farshad.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. Thank you. 349-1320. The goddess is getting hell today. What did I do to deserve this? Farshad is really upset. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi.
Welcome.
Uh, You almost ruined my dinner tonight.
Why? Oh, because of the...
Because of the animal thing. But anyway, I want to address the gay stuff.
Well, here's a cat and dog that we think breeded together. No, really, it looks like a little puppy kittens is what it is. It's hard to see what it is in the picture, but it's like got whiskers and it looks like a combination of a dog and a cat. So is this possible that a dog and a cat can find true love with each other?
I don't know, but there's news about the Vatican turning down or rejected the idea about, the priest marriage and, wanted the priest to be celibate. And I would kind of try to mention about that is that I'm a Catholic. Actually, I grew up as a Catholic. I was an altar boy myself. But what I'm trying to say is that, I think that the Vatican should open up to the new idea about some of the society changes. What it is that would they rather want their priests to be locked up and end up, molesting children versus allowing the priest to go get married and get a spouse, I think either male or female spouse doesn't really matter, but I think sometimes
Let me ask the question. I think it's possible, but let me ask the question to be sure, because I did go to Catholic school for a while. Is it possible for priests to be gay as long as they remain celibate?
I don't know.
I think that may be possible. I'm not sure, but somebody who's more up on those issues than I can let me know that. But what would be the downside? I mean, the Vatican doesn't want it. The Church doesn't want it. They don't want women priests, and they don't want priests who can marry. And maybe the case that's made is if you are concerned about householder activities, children, family, and so on, you can't give your all to the Church, and you can't give your all to the congregation. On the other hand, you can make the case that if you're so restricted as to what you are able to do, that you wind up acting inappropriately.
Well, but one thing I need to say is just that, if God intended the priest to be celibate and remain, doesn't have a spouse, why did he create Adam and Eve and make the natural way? It doesn't make any sense, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but there are people who, I don't know. I mean, I think the whole issue of sexuality is a continuum, and there are a lot of gears in life, and some of them don't have names. But I thank you for calling, John, and I hope your appetite is restored. 3491320, Ben in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I think the difference between the animals and they're not monogamous and the animals are gay, they're animals, though. We're not animals, are we?
I think we're animals, aren't we animals? We're animals. I hate to tell you this, Ben. I think we're animals.
Okay.
Some of us dress, but some of us dress better than others. Some of us have culinary skills. Some of us take showers once in a while, but I think we're animals. Mammals. I thank you for the call, though, Ben. I know. This is a shock. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. It's always a shock to listen to Enid live. Taylor in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I am very well. Thank you.
Enid, you're making me laugh all the whole way home. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Was that an inadvertent laugh or not? Oh, never mind. Yes, Taylor, what's on your mind?
Well, as far as Ben's concerned, I think we are all technically in the animal kingdom, but anyways,
some of the animals drive better cars than others.
I agree. I must not be an animal. As far as Farshad is concerned, I think I kind of have to stand up for him in the fact that we really shouldn't talk about social issues and the fact that something might actually get done about it. We should ignore things for as long as we can until they become an issue.
Well, he is so fed up with us that we're talking about gay issues. He hears it in the morning, sometimes he hears it in the afternoon, and he's had it. He is over us. Farshad, are you listening? Don't be over us, but he might be.
Well, excellent. I was going to, another previous caller also mentioned the fact that the church claims that, if God created everything and, we're all of a sudden having, or we're recognizing at least the fact that there is homosexuality in the animal kingdom,
clearly, if there's homosexuality in the animal kingdom, it's clearly not a lifestyle choice.
Exactly.
Tell that to the whale. And you'll have a whale, and you'll have a whale of a good time.
Whale of a time. You do.
Yes, you will. And so clearly it is a natural phenomenon in certain species. So why call it, you know, if it's a natural phenomenon and God, you know, is omnipotent and God created everything and everything that God created is good. So there it is. It's good.
Yeah, it kind of throws a wrench in the whole the plan, doesn't it?
Yeah, apparently it does. I thank you for the call, Taylor.
Thank you.
349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition preceding the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, at least we're not talking about sending them to the pokey, if I will. Anyway, there could be a few people on the southbound 99 by Free Ridge Road that should. Hit and runs all over the place, as we are Sacramento, the hit and run capital of California. Northbound, Cap City Freeway by Arden Way, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Come in to Elliott's Natural Foods today for the health of your family. In Citrus Heights at Greenback and Fair Oaks in Greenback Square. And in Folsom on East Bidwell. Elliott's Natural Foods for the health of your family.
At Cold Stone Creamery, your craving is our command. We serve it, you savor it. We mix, you munch. You name it, you got it, any way you want it. Every rich and creamy Cold Stone creation is custom made, fresh for you. Whether it's a cone, cake, shake, or smoothie, we make it right before your eyes to melt in your mouth. So don't be afraid to mix things up and take it home. After all, it's your ice cream, and it's all about you. For special offers from Cold Stone Creamery, check your Sunday paper or visit coldstonecreamery.com.
Hello, AT&T Customer Care Center.
When it comes to cable, it pays to ask questions.
Actually, over 9 years, cable TV prices went up an average of 86% nationwide. Yes, sir. 86%. I know. That's not a good thing.
In fact, when it comes to getting all your services, including wireless, on one bill, cable just doesn't cut it.
Well, unfortunately, if you want to group your home phone, your wireless, high-speed internet, and your digital TV together on one bill, that is something that cable just doesn't offer. But AT&T lets you group all four services together, so you can then pay just one easy bill, and you end up saving time and money.
That's why AT&T is a name you can trust. With great prices and reliable phone service, you can depend on the new AT&T.
In fact, every 11 seconds, a customer comes back to the new AT&T after trying someone else. There's never been a better time to come back.
Call 1-800-PICK-ATT or visit att.com. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Claim based on customers returning to AT&T phone service from other service providers.
Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Let me add this to the conversation, because this is, we were talking yesterday about the city of Belmont in San Mateo, and they are prohibiting smoking all over the place. You can't even smoke in your car if everything goes through the way they want it to. You won't be able to smoke in your apartment. You only be able to smoke in maybe some certain parks that they might have. They don't want you to smoke in anything but a detached home. Then you can smoke in your own home. And maybe they're going to make you close the windows. Who knows? But here is a Nevada town. This is the town that Art Bell used to live in. I hope I say it right. Pahrump? It always sounds like Harumph, Nevada. It's taking a stand not just against illegal immigrants, but the flags that you might bring with you if you are anybody. They have enacted an ordinance in this town in Nevada making it illegal to fly any foreign nation's flag by itself. You are not allowed to fly any foreign nation's flag by itself. Flying another country's flag, whether it's the Union Jack or the flag of Mexico, the flag of Italy, is punishable by a $50 fine and 30 hours of community service. Unless the only way you can fly some other country's flag in this town in Nevada is if you fly it below the American flag. So you've got to have Old Glory, and Old Glory is sovereign, says a member of the board of the of that little city. It's in the Mojave Desert and a kind of a remote place. Well, remote is probably an understatement here. You can't fly any other nation's flag higher than the American flag. And you can't, in this little town, you cannot fly any other nation's flag unless it's with the American flag. The ACLU says the flag restriction violates the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech. There's no doubt about it, said a board member of the Nevada ACLU. People have a right, as much as we don't like it, to fly any flag they wish. Parump, I hope that's right. Tell me if it's not. It's a rural, fast-growing town of 33,000, about 60 miles west of Las Vegas. It is part of sprawling Nye County, home of the closest legal brothels to Las Vegas. So you can, they have legal brothels there. They have legal cat houses there. They have little legal Mustang ranches there. But you better not fly a foreign flag, because if you do by itself, it's going to cost you $50 and 30 hours of community service. The law passed as part of a package of measures that also declared English the official language of Pahrump and denies town benefits to anybody who is illegal. We don't have any benefits, the town manager says. But if we ever did have any benefits... they would be denied to illegal immigrants. Supporters say the law is a stand on principle and doubts that anyone will be arrested for violating it. I can't conceive of there being anyone cited for it. The ordinance's sponsor is a retired Illinois state worker and said the flag restriction was a reaction to nationwide demonstrations in May against a crackdown on illegal immigration. He said he did not like seeing protesters waving Mexican flags and demanding immigrants not go to work that day. In Pahrump, we had Mexican restaurants closed that day, he complained. Only one restaurant stayed open. So here, you know, the immigrants that they can't stand, they're bent out of shape because they closed the restaurant down, and they wanted it to stay open, even though they can't stand the people who own it, probably. The ACLU would probably is probably going to take legal action against the town. People are nuts out there, said an ACLU member. Totally nuts. So here are these people living in divine... obscurity in the desert, or divine remoteness. There's a better word that it's not coming to mind, but you know what I mean. And they have concocted their own alternative universe. And if you ever listen to Art Bell, you'll know that he's big on. He's not doing it too much anymore, I don't think, but he's big on UFOs and paranormal phenomena and so on. And here in this place, they are enacting a $50 fine and 30 hours of community service if you were to fly a foreign flag. What are your thoughts about this place? And also, if you're an illegal, they are going to deny you benefits. Well, they don't actually have any benefits right now, but if they ever have benefits in the future, they're going to deny them to you if you're illegal. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So the things that we're talking about right now are this whole class of minister who is happy to filch a clergy who are happy to filch their sermons from the internet, and they're doing it without actually crediting the source of the sermon that they're giving. You know, as they're trying to uplift us in our house of worship, that once a week when we hope for a little uplift and inspiration, there they are plagiarizing a sermon. And a lot of ministers don't feel that it's necessary to credit the place where they plagiarize the sermon. Some of these places, you can get a sermon for $10. Others provide the sermons for free. Maybe this has been going on for a long time, and we didn't really know about it because there are anthologies of sermons. I don't know. But now we're starting to know that some of this stuff, because you're starting to see it over and over again. So you're starting to know that some of this stuff is available on the net, and people are grabbing at it wherever they can. And ministers, clergy, the people that we are holding to a higher standard are happy to pinch this stuff and pass it off as their own. Now, it's like Julie Doolittle. It's not illegal, you know, where she pinches 15% of any kind of campaign contribution that you make to her husband, still in Congress, although I hope not for much longer. They're counting the votes. They're counting the absentee and provisional ballots. And I'm hoping against hope that it will, that somehow he can be unseated, even if it's just by a couple of votes. That would do it. Wouldn't that be just too juicy to contemplate? Anyway, so here are people who are held to a higher standard but acting in the way that is really a lower standard. And I guess I say this in the wake of the Pastor Ted scandal. And we're also talking about the fact that, you know, we've been talking about gay issues in the last day or two, about the Catholic Church saying you can continue to be a member of the church but only if you remain celibate and chaste. And there are Baptist conventions that are wanting to cut the ties of any gay-friendly Baptist church, and they're kind of on a mission. If they think a church is too gay-friendly, why they want to cut the ties. And yet, we see in the animal world, there are homosexual animals, according to scientists. We don't hear too much about it, but that's the case. So apparently it's not a lifestyle choice, because I don't think animals are able to make that choice, are they? Are they going to decide what kind of lifestyle they want? Well, the animals are coming out of the closet. Never mind that they even know what a closet is. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And, you know, in the world of the politically correct, you're not even supposed to refer to them as animals. Well, you're not supposed to refer to your pets as pets. Let me put it that way. You're supposed to call them domestic companions. That's what they're supposed to be called. 349-1320, because they'll get insulted if you call them a pet. In Los Angeles, though, they keep their pets busy. They got pet aerobics classes, and they have little pet shrinks, and they have things like that. Another thing I want to add to the conversation is that there is a voodoo practitioner who is trying to jinx Bush. He is apparently a fairly renowned black magic practitioner. He performed a voodoo ritual to jinx Dickey, President George W. Bush, and his entourage while he was on a brief visit to Indonesia. Well, I would think that the jinx for Dickey is that he's Dickey, and whatever, that he inhabits that particular territory called George W. Bush land, and has with it attached to it at the umbilical cord place, Dick Cheney. So here is this renowned black magic practitioner. And what he did to effect this jinx, and I thought if you did magic, you were only supposed to do what they call white magic and not black magic. But here's what he did. He slit the throat of a goat, a small snake, and he stabbed a black crow in the chest. Oh, my God, PETA's going to be all over this guy. He stirred their blood with spice and broccoli before he, oh, no, drank the potion and smeared some on his face. He says, I don't hate Americans, but I don't like Bush. He believed that the ritual would succeed as the devil is with me today, he said. He said the jinx would send spirits to possess Secret Service personnel guarding Bush and would leave them in a trance, leading them into falsely thinking that the president was under attack, thus eventually causing chaos in the presidential palace there in Indonesia, where the American leader was scheduled to meet with the president. Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim country, however, has still many practicing animal rituals, including black magic, that predate Islam's arrival. I am doing voodoo, said this renowned black magic practitioner, because other ritual would not work. He told this to reporters after he conducted the gory ritual about 1 kilometer from the very, very close to the palace. You have any thoughts about this? This voodoo practitioner is trying to jinx Dickey. I think Dickey is already kind of jinxed myself, but and almost jinxed us, and did for far too long. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We haven't talked much about politics in the last day or two, but let me add this. Steny Hoyer is now the number two in the House. Nancy Pelosi was backing Mirtha. Mirtha didn't make it. Mirtha didn't have anywhere near the votes that Steny Hoyer did. So you could ask a couple of questions about Nancy Pelosi's backing of Mirtha. Did she do it because they were good friends? It's reported that she and Steny Hoyer have a chilly relationship with each other. Did she do it because she knew he wasn't going to win, but he did so much in his capacity as a decorated war veteran to portray the Democrats. He had a big role, I think, in the election, in that he portrayed Democrats as, not wimpy and not cut and run. And, you know, he was somebody who was in a big position to question the administration, to stand up to the administration when it came to military matters and so on. So the question is, and I'm kind of curious about it, and there are all kinds of different views on it. The question is, was she backing him knowing that he wasn't going to make it? But trying to give him something for not making it? Or did she really want him to make it, and this is the first test of her power, and she has flunked because her person didn't make it? The problem with Murtha is that he appears on the list of these ethically compromised congressmen. He's apparently right up there. So, and I'm sorry to hear it. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. And you know, I do have an update. Thank you so much, Kevin, over there in Elk Grove. He's driving around. Coming back, actually, he's on southbound 99. I guess it's not so bad that way. Now, what he saw was northbound 99 right before Fruit Ridge Road, and then lanes 1, 2, and almost 3 are stopped down. I think everybody's getting off on 47. That might be a better idea for you. Also, 50 at Watt Avenue. We have a 3-car crash there. Going on to Roseville, I-80 and Madison Avenue, a 3-car crash right there on the interchange. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair Mall. Wait, Borders Books. Although, Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Ma'am, do you want to think about it and call us back?
Nope, I'm going with Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Or Borders. But Arden Fair Mall.
Making the choice isn't always easy. When it comes to the environment, choosing to make it better is easy. Choose a cleaner, healthier environment by joining Smud's Greenergy. For as little as $3 a month, Smud will match your electricity use with energy created from clean, renewable resources like the wind and sun. It doesn't get much easier than that. Plus, get your choice of a free $10 gift certificate from Borders Books, Jamba Juice, Arden Fair Mall, or Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op when you enroll for 6 months or more.
I'll take Arden Fair or Borders. But the food co-op.
Start with the easy choice and join Smud's Greenergy today. Enroll online at smud.org or call 1-888-742-SMUD. Smud, the power to do more.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
5:44 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of things. It's kind of a flea market of ideas. I don't know about you, but I feel like it's a holiday. It's almost a holiday, even though what's today? Thursday. Well, we're a week out from Thanksgiving, but somehow I can sort of feel it in the air. Maybe you are feeling it in the air as well. We're talking about Nancy Pelosi. Her first choice, Martha, didn't make it, but Sonny Hoyer did, and he sounds like a far superior candidate, to tell you the truth. Also, let me share this with you. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement has opened a criminal investigation of, oh my goodness, he's still in rehab. Who would that be? Mark Foley, who resigned in September after his emails with teenage congressional pages came to light. The agency opened a preliminary inquiry into Foley's conduct shortly after his resignation. The agency apparently has found a basis to open a criminal investigation. So this is now a criminal investigation. The emails, they're saying, are the one thing we're looking into. But the Florida agency is also continuing to assist the FBI, which has been conducting its own Foley probe. Authorities have been investigating whether Foley might have used computers in Florida to engage or solicit minors in any illegal activities. His attorney has categorically denied that the former congressman ever engaged in sexual activities with minors. Well, what he might have done is just to engage in suggestive chat on the net with minors. He may not have acted on it. And this brings up another question, and I don't have an answer for it, but maybe you do. We've been talking about all kinds of sexuality. There have been countless cases of stings where, and often executives, smart executives, very successful executives, sometimes people you've heard about, but people, you know, people who are bright and successful and so on. And what happens is they're on these, some of them are called daddy and daughter chat rooms, and these are guys 30, 40, 50 years old, trolling for underage girls, 13, 14, whatever, 12, I don't know, 13, let's say. And they have all these explicit conversations with each other, kind of, sort of. And then they arrange a meeting. And then when the 30, 40, 50-year-old man shows up at the shopping center or the restaurant or wherever, or the mall or wherever they were going to have the meeting, it's not a 13-year-old. It's always a 45-year-old male FBI agent. It's been a sting. And what they do is they haul the executive off to the pokey. Now, the executive didn't do anything, and there was no 13-year-old girl. I have never understood how they make that play out, how they make that bust. There's no 13-year-old girl. It was always a 45-year-old. It's always a 45-year-old male sheriff, FBI agent, somebody who's pretending to be. And that's got to be an interesting exercise in engaging your imagination, pretending to be a 13-year-old girl. Now, it's true, he might the stingy might have not had the best motives, but he didn't do anything, and there wasn't anybody to do it with. So how does he get busted for that? Would somebody, one of you who is an attorney, could you explain that to me? And even if the law says that he gets busted for it, is that fair? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you could go to the pokey for what you're thinking, or for what you're planning, I think everybody would be in the pokey at one time or another in their lives. So here's somebody who, yes, he's but there wasn't a 13-year-old. Now, if there were a 13-year-old, maybe. He clearly had some intention to do something. But there is no 13-year-old, and there is no illegal activity. He may be thinking about it. He may be dreaming about it. He may be hoping for it. But I don't, you know, I think at a certain point we have to, be fair. That's what I think. So I have never understood that. And if somebody else understands that, I would like to hear about it. And you have a prof at one of the colleges in San Francisco. I forget which one it is. And he was found with all these this kiddie porn on his internet. Now, I don't know if he acted on anything, but he had this kiddie porn. Now, if it's kids used in the making of kiddie porn, okay, no, that's not right. But they're computer-generated stuff where no human beings are involved. So is that in the same category, do you think? I mean, I think this is territory that is very, I think we are so over the top when it comes to issues of sexual predators, and when it comes, and we opened the show with that Northern NorCal rapist. He's raped now 10 women. or attempted to rape them. And if we were Oprah, we could write out a check for $100,000 and say anybody who, you know, is instrumental in the capture of this horrible person gets the check, and maybe somebody who knows something would come forward. But we're not Oprah. We could offer $100,000 and play money, though. Maybe a lot of community groups ought to come together and offer a substantial reward for so. But anybody who is a sexual predator, we are hysterical on that subject. Anybody kiddie porn, we are hysterical on the subject. If you are, and I'm certainly no, I'm not advocating kiddie, I'm not advocating sexual predation. All I'm saying is, if you set up, if there's nobody, if there's no 13-year-old, and no crime has been committed, should you be hauled off to the pokey? And the occasion for this is Mark Foley is the subject of a criminal probe. Yes. If he had sex with somebody who's underage, absolutely. He has broken the law. This is not something we are, this is against the law, and it's because it's against our ethics and it's a taboo and all of that other stuff. But if he only engaged in horny chat with kids who were underage, is that the same category? And does he get hauled, should he serve in the pokey for that? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Cheryl in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment on what you were talking about. I've got a customer that's a sheriff officer, and he was one of the guys that was pretending to be a 14 or 16-year-old girl in the chat rooms, but he led the other officers to the house of the guy, and the guy, once they investigate the house and pick up what's on his computer, it was loaded with kiddie porn, and so they're able to make arrests based on other things, not just the meeting of an invisible 14 or 16-year-old. They usually have to have some
they have something
evidence.
All right, so in that case, then, they found all this kiddie porn. So let me just throw another wrench in it. What if it was kiddie porn where no kiddies were actually used? It was all computer-generated.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that makes it. You know, that's a twist to this. All right, I thank you, Cheryl, for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. We have one line open. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some slow traffic going on South Bend 99, now North Bend 99, just past Free Ridge Road. Actually, right before it, take 47th. We have a couple of car crash over there stopping down. 1, 2, and the third lane. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort. Scott and Sam.
Opening bids?
Like Christie's in New York.
Any mall?
Yes.
No. Yeah, that's just lame. Mm. You know, but we have a real auctioneer on the line with us, Keith McClain.
A real auctioneer is like me in danger of being put out of work by guys like
all I can do is just kind of, I mean, that's all I can.
Keith, would you do just a little bit?
330 right there now, 340 back in, 340 right there now, 350 back in. Andy, in your rented apartment.
A
walking,
buck.
Go on.
Scott and Sam's mornings, 530 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage Loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage Loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Thank you.
to Enid now, 349-1320.
554, we have one line open. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, so we have some time to talk. And what we're talking about is something that I don't understand, and it happens repeatedly, and it's usually high-level smart people, and they haven't caught on. But I'm not, I know what we're trying to do. But when you are, you know, when you are trying to, you're an overage man trying to arrange a rendezvous with an underage girl, and who you think that 13-year-old girl is, when you finally set up your meeting at the mall or wherever you set it up, that 13-year-old girl most of the time winds up being a 45-year-old FBI agent or a law enforcement person. So that overage man gets hauled off to the pokey, but he didn't commit a crime, and there was no 13-year-old girl. I don't understand how that happens. And then somebody just called, Cheryl just called us to say that sometimes they get them on other stuff, all the kiddie porn on the computer. Well, if it's actual kids used in the making of kiddie porn, that's one thing. But what if it's all computer generated, you know, from the imagination? So and no human beings were used in the manufacture of kiddie porn. Then what? Then what does that do to the argument? If anybody's an attorney, I would like to know how they arrest you. You know, if we are all arrested for the things that we're thinking, oh, my goodness, nobody would be walking around free most of the time. Danny and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Two points. The first one, I'll start with the second thing you talk about, which is the kiddie porn.
Are you an attorney?
I just graduated from UC Davis, and we find out bar results tomorrow.
It's California's the toughest bar in the country, isn't it?
Well, it's not the easiest, that's for sure.
Oh, well, I hope we're wishing you well. All right, give us some free legal advice worth what you pay for it.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't want to give people legal advice on this because it's pretty heinous, but in terms of kiddie porn itself, yeah, obviously that's illegal, but the Supreme Court actually ruled a few years ago that computer-generated kiddie porn where no actual children are used,
right,
it's a First Amendment violation to say you can't have that.
Okay, now what about these things where you have got no actual 13-year-old exists, so therefore no crime exists? How do they make that bust stick?
It's a set of crimes called inchoate crimes that haven't actually been completed,
mm-hmm.
and it would be attempt. It's the same thing, Enid, if you know, an undercover agent sets up a drug bust. It's the exact same principle. The person, the FBI agent who's trying to get the drugs, is not actually trying to get drugs. They're trying to get the bust. I mean, in that situation, it's more than attempt because they get you at the point where you...
Well, wait, but there are actual drugs that exist.
Sure.
Well, there's no actual 13-year-old here. I have ridden with the police when they're making, you know, they're trying to bust undercover, in an undercover way, they're trying to bust Johns and the girls. And the minute you make the deal, then that's when they go in for the bust. You don't have to take your clothes off. They just, when they agree on the money, that's what happens.
Right. The problem there is that it's not about the correlation is not between the actual 13-year-old girl and the actual drugs. It's the illegal activity. It's the selling the drugs and the trying to sell.
ATTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Punishment today for two members of the U.S. military who committed terrible crimes against civilians in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has one story from Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Specialist James Barker was sentenced to life in prison with the chance of parole after 20 years for raping and killing a 14-year-old Iraqi girl. Four current and former soldiers face similar charges for an incident. Civilian defense lawyer David Sheldon feels should send the Army a clear message.
They were under a tremendous amount of combat stress. They were combat fatigued.
Tearing up on the witness stand, Barker said, quote, I cannot begin to understand why I engaged in that horrible act of violence. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
At Camp Pendleton, California, KNX Radio's Tom Riopelle reports Marine Lance Corporal Tyler Jackson has been sentenced to 21 months for his role in the murder of an unarmed man who was dragged from his home and shot.
The 23-year-old Marine cut a plea deal with the government and is expected to testify against four other Marines facing murder, kidnapping, and other charges. In court, Jackson apologized to the family of the Iraqi citizen killed in April, saying he wished he had the courage to stop it. Several times Jackson said that he wished he could take back what happened that day.
In Iraq, the search is on for four American contractors and others whose supply convoy was ambushed after it crossed the border from Kuwait. At least eight people died today when a tornado spawned by a powerful storm system smashed a neighborhood of mobile homes in Riegelwood, North Carolina. Against the advice of a friend, this grieving woman went back to have a look.
I didn't believe it.
I know you did.
Wow, and there's nobody dead.
I told you when you came out here it was going to be a shock to you.
At a temporary shelter, CBS News correspondent Jim Acosta found a family who escaped with their lives, but little else.
We talked with a woman and her three kids in a local emergency shelter, and she broke down in tears, saying that that house, that mobile home, was all she had, and now she has nothing left. I could see sitting next to her at this cafeteria table inside the school, all she had with her were the pictures of her children. She had nothing else with her.
The bad weather now moving into the Northeast is blamed for at least a dozen deaths across the South. Nancy Pelosi learned the limits of her power today. The incoming House Speaker wanted Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha to be the new majority leader, but Democrats voted overwhelmingly to stick with Marilyn Steny Hoyer.
Nancy and I think, have been a good team. In my opinion, it was not that somebody was rejected today. It was that a team that had been successful was asked to continue to do that job on behalf of the American people.
Hoyer and Pelosi have often been at odds, but they made a show of unity after the vote. The market's rise continued. The Dow Industrial's up 54 points to 12,305. The Nasdaq gained 6 points today. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Milton Friedman, one of the most influential economists of the 20th century, died today at 94. Regine Schlesinger, Chicago station WBBM, has his story.
Friedman taught at the University of Chicago for 30 years until 1976, when he was awarded the Nobel Prize. One of his students was Sam Peltzman, now a professor emeritus.
He was a very powerful influence in my life.
And a powerful influence in the world, transforming the view of the role of free markets.
Before he came on the scene, there was a lot of skepticism about the efficacy of the market, and we needed the government to regulate this and the government to do that.
He influenced world leaders, including notably Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. Regine Schlesinger, CBS News, Chicago.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and his predecessor Alan Greenspan both called Friedman a mentor. Maybe if you'd stay put, you'd get that tax refund you've been waiting for. The IRS says checks totaling more than $92 million have been returned by the Postal Service because the recipient moved and left no forwarding address. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, Hour 4. I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. I hope you're telling your friends. You're supposed to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we're here. And I want to congratulate Jennifer, who won Teacher Man. These are paperbacks, but they are signed by Frank McCourt, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer of that book, and Angela's Ashes, and he is just wonderful. And if you are just joining us, a couple of things. First of all, you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can call me toll-free anytime, 349-1320, and from any place, 866-626-1320. Doesn't cost a penny to call and register your observations. And what we're talking about is something that I've been scratching my head over for quite a while. And that is that I read about it periodically. It inevitably involves somebody who's pretty successful and should know better for a lot of reasons. Well, Mark Foley, for example, he's being criminally probed, not in the biblical sense, I don't suppose, by the state of Florida. And I think the FBI is still looking into his situation to see whether or not he engaged in inappropriate chat with underage people or whether he actually acted on it. If it was inappropriate conversation, I can't imagine that he broke the law. Can you? But if you're an attorney, I want to hear from you. But if he acted on it, that's one thing. And it leads into this whole conversation, and you read about it, you hear about it all the time, that these overage guys are hanging out in these underage chat rooms trying to set something up with a 13-year-old girl. Then they always arrange a meeting in a mall, and always a 13-year-old girl turns out to be a 45-year-old male law enforcement officer, an FBI officer, you know, somebody. It's never, but these guys get hauled off to the pokey. Well, there was never a 13-year-old, and no crime was ever committed. And one of you just called in to explain to me why that would be legal, and I sort of understand it, but not entirely. So if anybody has any thoughts about this, please, we want to hear them. 349-1320. Jennifer calling from Elk Grove. Jennifer, congratulations on winning Teacher Man.
Oh, thank you, Enid.
You're welcome.
I'm actually an attorney as well, and one of the things the young man who just called in, I'm wishing him luck on the bar as well for tomorrow. One of the things, there are several issues that you guys brought up. There's the whole, you asked the question about, well, whether or not you can be arrested for something that you're thinking about,
mm-hmm.
and no, you can't. There's two components to committing a crime. There's mens rea and actus reus. Mens rea is having the intent, the mindset to commit the crime,
mm-hmm.
and actus reus is taking any action towards completing that. So you need to have the intent plus the act to have a completed crime.
So the intent is the conversation in the chat room, and the act is meeting the 13-year-old.
No, 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 no. Okay. No.
All right.
The chat in the chat room, that can actually be actus reus depending on what the statute says. Now, there are certain crimes that are inherently bad, and then there are certain crimes that we as a society decide are bad, which is what the young man was trying to explain. And these are statutorily defined crimes. So, for instance, one of the crimes that would fall under that is statutory rape. We as a society decided that people who are under 16 under cannot consent to sexual activity. That's not necessarily inherently wrong when you look around the world and people, you know, they're kids who get married way younger than that. So it's not something that's inherently wrong, but it's a crime that it's something that we have decided as a society to criminalize.
Okay.
And so once you have that statute, it depends on whether or not the elements of the statute are met. And, you know, for instance, going into a chat room, thinking that you're talking to a 13-year-old could be enough. There's also the this, you know, say a guy is talking to someone and he's like, well, she's 35, she's not actually 13. A mistake of fact as to her age is not a defense. And what that means is that if the crime you intended to commit, had you committed it or completed the act, if it would have been a crime, then it doesn't matter if she's 13 or 35. If you thought you were talking to a 13-year-old and you wanted to have sex with that 13-year-old, and if you had gone to meet with that 13-year-old and you completed that act, it would have been a crime.
All right, wait a minute. Now, that's the part I'm not clear on. Give me that in a sentence, if you can.
Well, if there's an act, if you intend to commit an act.
And in this case, what is the act?
In this case, having sex with a 13-year-old.
Okay, but there was no 13-year-old and there was no sex, therefore.
No, but if the act that you intended to commit and you started to commit, if you'd completed it, would it have been a crime? And in this case, yes, just because she's not 13, she's 35. If you thought that you were going to commit, you were going to have sex with a 13-year-old.
So then let me shift the arena. Supposing you thought you were going to kill somebody who didn't exist and you never killed them, is that a crime also?
Well?
Ooh, Jennifer, I'm stumping the attorney. Well, supposing who are we gonna blow away today? But you get into a conversation in a chat room. It could be a sting sort of a situation, and you want to blow somebody away. And who, I don't know how this. We'd have to use our novelist's imagination to concoct a scenario that was plausible. But if you, or is this only about sex? We're so fixated on sex. We use sex to sell everything, and sex is not legal to buy in this country except in a few counties in Nevada.
But then what could also, it depends again on the statute, it could be the solicitation. Now, solicitation of murder or even conspiracy to commit murder, even if you never commit it, that's still an actionable crime.
If you solicit to commit murder of somebody who doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
Can you get hauled off to the pokey for that?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so. But, you know, I invite.
I want to know if this guy who's committing black magic voodoo on the president, Dickey, is going to get hauled off to the Indonesian pokey.
No, because that's probably not a crime in Indonesia.
Well, in Indonesia, but, you know, lately they're going to haul us off for what we're thinking. Do you know the kids have been hauled to the pokey? And this, I'm not making this up. At very good schools, like the University of Michigan and other schools, where they have been in creative writing classes, and part of the assignment that they've come up with is how they're going to murder the teacher. So the teachers get all bent out of shape. They get very frightened. They go to the police, and the kid gets hauled off to the pokey. It was a creative writing class. And if the kid's name were Stephen King, he wouldn't be making a fortune from it.
But see, I don't think that if the kid is arrested, that, you know, they'd be prosecuted. I there would be so many constitutional challenges to that. I don't think that you know, a child would be prosecuted for that. Unless it's, you know, they can fit it into a statute where there's a, you know, making threats, and then you have to go into determining their state of mind. Well, did they intend to make a threat? How do you know, you know, they intended to make a threat? What factors? And that's when you know, get in front of a jury and those sort of things. And a school would probably open itself up to a lot of liability.
All right. So are you saying it's okay then? It is the law that if there is an overage man thinking that he's making a rendezvous with an underage girl, and the underage girl doesn't exist and is in fact a 45-year-old male FBI agent, he can be hauled off to the pokey, and that's it. He has broken the law.
It depends on what the statute says. These are statutory driven.
Let me ask you a question, not what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair? Now, here's an attorney. There's another attorney. Now, you know, it's not what the law says. Is it fair? The law says it's not right, that if there's not, it's not against the law to pinch sermons online if you're a clergyman, but is it right to do it? So, and then you have the case which I talked about earlier of a guy who's 20 years old who is apparently did some jail time because he killed a horse with the intent to sexually assault that poor horse, the horse that he would have ridden in on had the horse was cited for having sex or intending to have sex, I forgot now the details, with a dead deer. And his attorney is arguing that the law isn't applicable here because the deer's not alive and there's no law against having sex with a carcass.
Well,
so I mean, the question is not what is the law, but what is right?
For me, you know, as someone who has seen the effects of, you know, child sexual abuse, you know, that, for me, I mean, I've worked with clients who, you know, ended up on death row. And when you look at their histories and their past, you know, one of the unifying characteristics is, you know, child sexual abuse. So when you,
well, no, there's no question. If anybody commits child sexual abuse, that's it. To the pokey. That's where they go. But I'm not talking about the actual act. I'm talking about the, you know, the hypotheticals here. Not did they do it. If they did it, there's no question about that. But it's when there's no victim and there's no crime. That's the part I was having a problem with. Jennifer, you have done an admirable and heroic job of trying to explain it to a dope like me, and I appreciate that.
Oh, you're one of the most brilliant women I know.
Oh, in my dreams. And thank you so much. And congratulations on winning Teacher Man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320. We do have more copies that we're going to give away today. So, and they're signed by Frank McCourt, who was a delicious guest. If you like to sup on fine literature and excellent conversation, he is your guy. And taught in the schools for 30 years and survived it to become a brilliant success later in life. First book published when he is 66 years old, and it's a bestseller and becomes a motion picture. Isn't that amazing? Erin in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Erin.
Enid, you got to get on board with this one. You got to get on board with this one because, okay, my thing is, yes, we can keep making all these analogies. Is this situation similar to prostitution stings and drug stings and all that kind of stuff? And yeah, there's similarities. I hear what you're saying, that there's actually no 13-year-old, but there's also no actual prostitute when they do the prostitution sting.
Yes, yes. Well, they have a decoy. They do have a woman.
But that's not a prostitute. That's a cop. So the same thing. It's not a 13-year-old. It's a cop, right? So to me, it's the same thing. But I understand the semantics that you're arguing. But my issue really is the bigger picture, the fact that once they've already committed the crime, and I think what your last caller might have just been getting ready to go into with her own opinion, is that once they've already committed this type of crime, they've already ruined a life. They've already set forth a chain reaction where now this person's going to end up a criminal themselves. You know, the victim is going to most likely end up a criminal themselves.
Erin, I'm not following you. I'm not getting what you're saying.
Okay. When you have the pedophile that actually goes through with the crime, like in the sense that you're talking about, goes all the way through with it and commits...
Well, what crime? The actual committing of a real crime?
Yes.
Or are you talking about the sting where there was no 13-year-old and there was no crime?
I'm talking about your version of the crime where they actually go through with it and, you know...
They actually go through with nothing except meeting what they think is a 13-year-old in the mall, and there's no 13-year-old and therefore no crime.
If we were, though, to say, okay, the only way that we're ever going to haul these people off to the pokey, using your words, is if they actually go out and finish it up with a real person, like, you know, a real victim, a real 12-year-old.
So you're saying nip it in the bud. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying head it off at the pass, exactly, because that's how, the only way we're going to protect our kids. Otherwise, if you let it happen, then it's already happened and it's too late. It doesn't matter how many years they get in prison or if they go to the death penalty or whatever. It doesn't matter. The deed is done. That child who has been damaged is damaged goods forever, more than likely. So in this particular situation, yeah, we have to nip it in the bud. And I would say even take some of the money and the resources that's being used to stop the drug dealers and the prostitutes who aren't hurting anybody directly, and put it into stopping these people from raping little children.
Okay, you made a very vigorous argument, Erin. I thank you for doing it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Steve in Elk Grove, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Steve.
Hi, my comment is that we're all just a moment away from being arrested, every one of us at any time.
You think? For what? What are you a moment now? If I were to ask you, Steve, what are you a moment away from being arrested for?
Well, anything, because, you know, anything happens, it's always your word against the cops, and who's going to win?
Well, that's true, and that's the balance you ride in a democracy. That's what so actually your point is a pretty interesting one, because you know, you want people to have freedoms, and that's what a democracy is about. At the same time, you have to protect You have to protect people. There are laws against doing bad things and so on. And that's why I think this is such an intriguing situation. Now, a couple of attorneys have called in to explain why, even though there's no victim and there's no crime, somebody could get hauled off to the pokey. Our last caller, Aaron, made a pretty vigorous argument for you nip it in the bud, because this is somebody who would have gone through with it had there been a 13-year-old.
Yes, when the cops use decoys, the decoys, you know, the ones acting like prostitutes or dressed like prostitutes, they actually flag you down and they draw attention. They want you to come over to them, and as soon as you start talking to them, you can be arrested.
Not as soon as you make, well, in Denver, when I rode with the cops, and I rode with them twice for the busting the Johns and busting the girls, and when the girl, as soon as the girl made the, as soon as the money was arranged, that was the end of it. That's when they, that's when they went in and swooped down.
I've seen it happen without any money being arranged, as soon as she got in the car or something, you know.
Well, maybe in California the law is different, but in Colorado, as soon as they made a deal for how much, that it would, you know, in other words, that a transaction was going to go down, that's when they, and she's wearing a wire, and we can hear it in the squad car, and we're parked farther away, and they go right in.
Because what if...
And there are about five or six cars, there's a bunch of cars, and they all swoop down immediately.
Yeah, because what if there's no money involved, and the guy's just playing around or something, he can still be arrested, you know, for doing something he didn't do or didn't intend to do.
Well, in one case, a guy, I've told the story, his payment was going to be rock cocaine, so right away, he was in trouble. And what was even worse is they impound your vehicle in Denver, and he had just that day picked up a brand new vehicle from the dealership, a big old Mamou truck with a four-door cab, and I mean, this thing had everything on it, and that was the end of that, too. All right, Steve, I take your point, and I thank you for making it. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We do have some slowdowns. Now, I-5 and at J Street and N Street, actually two places over there, I-5 North, ma'am. We have a three-car crash. Southbound I-5, just past J Street, there's a two-car crash there as well. On the way to Roseville, we have just past Madison Avenue and I-80. It looks like a three-car crash, I guess stopping traffic down and doing 5 to 10 mile per hour over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Boxcar Bedding is Sacramento's only authorized top name brand mattress clearance center with big savings on closeout, mismatched, exchanged, and slightly blemished mattresses. Visit their Gold River store just off Hazel and Highway 50.
I'm News 10's Christina Mendonca. Tonight at 11, the last hurdle for development on K Street has been jumped. We'll let you know what the plan is tonight at 11 on News 10.
There's never been a better time to buy a Nissan than during Future Nissan's National Year-End Sales Event. Incredible savings like the new 06 Nissan Altima 2.5S Automatic Special Edition starting as low as $16,685 after your $3,000 rebate. Buy at this price. Hurry to Future Nissan, because at $16,685, these new 06 Nissan Altima 2.5S Special Editions won't last. Future Nissan in the Roseville Auto Mall, I-80 and Eureka Road. $1,000 customer cash is for engine replacement vehicles only.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair Mall. Wait, Borders Books. Although, Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Ma'am, do you want to think about it and call us back?
Nope, I'm going with Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Or Borders. But Arden Fair Mall...
Making a choice isn't always easy. When it comes to the environment, choosing to make it better is easy. Choose a cleaner, healthier environment by joining Smud's Greenergy. For as little as $3 a month, Smud will match your electricity use with energy created from clean, renewable resources like the wind and sun. It doesn't get much easier than that. Plus, get your choice of a free $10 gift certificate from Borders Books, Jamba Juice, Arden Fair Mall, or Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op when you enroll for 6 months or more.
I'll take Arden Fair or Borders. But the food co-op...
Start with the easy choice and join Smud's Greenergy today. Enroll online at smud.org or call 1-888-742-SMUD. Smud, the power to do more.
How would you like to cut your mortgage payment by over 50%? Then pay close attention, because the new Secure Advantage loan, only from Quicken Loans, could cut your payment in half. With the new Secure Advantage loan, you get the advantage of choosing an incredibly low payment month after month, plus the security of knowing your low rate is fixed for years. But these low rates may not last, so call 800-355-5029 to get your fixed rate fast. Join other California homeowners who are putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets. Call 800-355-5029 to see how Secure Advantage could cut your mortgage payment by more than half. That's a 50% lower payment and a fixed rate. Call Quicken Loans at 800-355-5029 and ask about the Secure Advantage loan. Call now, 800-355-5029. Equal housing lender, licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Call Quicken Loans now, 800-355-5029.
Ina Goldstein here for Smud Greenergy. More than 30,000 Smud customers have signed up for the Greenergy program, making it one of the most successful renewable power programs in the country. Do your part by joining the Green Team. More at smud.org/green.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Twenty-five on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And we have a line or two open, 349-1320-866-620-1320. We're talking about occasioned by the probe of Mark Foley now. It's now become a criminal probe in Florida. Florida Department of Law Enforcement has made that announcement. It has opened a criminal investigation of former Representative Mark Foley. And as you recall, he was having these quite inappropriate chats with House pages who were underage. The question is, did he actually engage in underage sex, or did he have only inappropriate conversation? If it was only inappropriate conversation, should that be, you know, should he be hauled off to the pokey for that? I don't know what the laws are exactly, but if he did not have sex with somebody underage, I should think that he would be constitutionally protected, but maybe not. I don't know. We're so tetchy now about sex crimes and underage involvement in sex crime. So we have that. And we also have a situation, and we keep reading about it all over the place. It's always somebody who's an executive who's sometimes they're well-known, sometimes, but often they're quite successful. And they are on these chat rooms with their overage guys trolling for underage girls. And then they set up a rendezvous with a 13-year-old who is really not a 13-year-old. It's a 45-year-old law enforcement officer, as a 45-year-old sex sex crime unit, FBI guy. But the overage guy is hauled off to the pokey because of what he was thinking, I guess. There was no underage victim, and there was no crime committed, but apparently this is legal, some of you calling who are attorneys, 349-1320. And also I want to add to the conversation, because one of the things we were talking about earlier are these sermons that pastors are pinching off the internet and passing off as their own, plagiarizing in effect, and they think it's just fine. There is a probe now of non-news news, and we're seeing it in the Bay Area. KGO TV and CBS 5 TV say they improperly used what are called VNRs, video news releases, and pass it off as news. So there's fakery all over the place, and crimes that people are carted off for, even though there are no victims. I'm still trying to digest it. I'm starting to get it, but 349-1320. Rich in Roseville, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rich.
Hey, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm retired Air Force, and a good part of that time I was in law enforcement. And the interesting point that you brought up about using decoys and for prostitution stings and stuff like that. I was involved in a lot of decoy type prosecutions where there was a lot of, I was stationed in the Middle East, and there was a lot of black marketing that was going on, tobacco and alcohol products, American made clothing, stuff like that. But we would have decoys posted as somebody who wanted to buy these black market items. And so they actually did not sell the items to somebody and black market them. But the key words in these types of prosecutions is criminal intent. That's what the prosecution goes after, is that they had every intent and every reason to believe when they're in these chat rooms or making this deal that they're going to commit the crime. So the prosecution pushes for the criminal intent, which makes it the crime, because if it had actually been a real person, then they would have, for all reasons, gone through and committed.
Okay, but there was black market merchandise that existed.
Yeah.
Okay, what if there had been no black market merchandise? Then you wouldn't have had the crime intent or not.
It comes out in court as, you know, and goes to the jury as, you know, do you believe this guy had the intent to commit the crime? So if somebody's in the chat room and they think they're talking to a 13-year-old and they set up a meeting, then it's what prosecution does is just they go to prove that he had the intent to follow through with the crime.
Even though there was no victim and no crime was committed. Just
right.
Like if I were going to try to do a scam on you and I said to you, I have all this black market stuff and I want to sell it to you, and let's say I didn't have any of it. I was just
right.
trying to get money out of you for something I don't have.
You have to go back on what is the purpose of the law in the first place? The purpose of the law in the first place is to prevent the crime from occurring. And if you are locking up people that have the criminal intent to commit the crime, then you're preventing them from possibly being successful in another chat room. So, you know, the purpose of the law is not only to punish
it's a deterrent. Yeah, it's a deterrent, presumably.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan, I think I follow what you're saying, and I thank you for saying it. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Dan and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Yeah, Enid, I got an idea. You know, most politicians, especially the Republican statistics, say that they're most likely to commit a scam or somebody on the American citizenry for some way or the other. I think we ought to go ahead and arrest them for most possibly committing a crime before they get, as soon as they get elected, and then, you know, we can solve the problem of who's going to be the honest politician and who isn't. I think it'd be a great idea that we get rid of these scumbags that think they're going to use politics to rip off the American public. I think we got a problem here that you know, it used to be that there's some people that even think we ought to take a look, psychoanalyze everybody and determine whether they're going to commit a crime or not, and then we can eliminate the ones that we think might commit a crime and throw them in jail ahead of time or eliminate some. You know, we got a big problem.
We know that there's so many on the ethically challenged list that why go through the muss and fuss of individually screening them all? Let's just lump them together. Since they're going to start dialing for dollars the minute they get into office anyway, and just haul them off to the pokey the first day they show for work. Is that what you're suggesting, Dan?
You wouldn't even have to worry about going through the process of kicking them out of office 2 years later, you know, after we prove.
All right, so we're going to deter them. We're going to
deter somebody.
I thank you for the call, Dan. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Okay, the moment has come. We have a few left, and we're going to do two of them right now. Two of Frank McCourt's books. They're both teacher man. They're in paper. Here's the catch. You've got to pick them up here at our glorious studios, 5345 Madison Avenue. They are both signed by Frank McCourt. We have two books to give away, and you will be our fourth and fifth caller. Fourth and fifth caller. And if you are the number four and number five, you get a signed copy of this book. So be caller four and be caller five, and you will win a signed copy. You just have to come and pick it up here, and when we know who the winner is, we'll congratulate them, and we'll do that in a few minutes. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We have some slowdowns southbound 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like coming back over Madison Avenue and Hemlock, there's a two-car crash, though, stopping things down as well. Tonight we have lows right around 42, ice coming up tomorrow, 69. And Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
more than $2 million. That's right. After this year's 8th annual Sacramento Magazine Best of Sacramento party, more than $2 million will have been raised for our local March of Dimes. Mark this date, Thursday, November 30th at the Sacramento Convention Center from 4:30 to 10 o'clock. Dress up and come to the celebration of everything that's great about our region with more than 200 of Sacramento Magazine's top subscribers and editors' picks showcasing their best. Enjoy the best food and drinks, shops, desserts, entertainers, and celebrities. At 9 p.m., everyone parties to the hottest dance band in our region, Wonder Bread 5. Tickets are now on sale at the Community Center box office, 264-5181, or visit tickets.com. Best of all, every penny of your ticket price goes to the March of Dimes. Sponsored in part by Infinity of Elk Grove, Silverado Building Materials, Thunder Valley Casino, and RPM Indoor Kart Racing.
Is your kitchen the heart of your home where everyone gathers for the holidays? Why not redecorate by replacing your unattractive cabinets with beautiful, new, functional cabinets? Loomis Cabinet Sales will replace your old cabinets with the cabinets you dreamed of in just 3 to 4 weeks. You'll have a beautiful new kitchen gathering place just in time for the holidays.
Visit Sacramento's largest cabinet showroom and choose from over 500 styles. Loomis Cabinet Sales design team will turn your kitchen dream into reality.
Loomis Cabinet Sales beats big box store prices and doesn't compromise on personal service.
For a limited time, get a free stainless steel dishwasher with your purchase of new kitchen cabinets. Now that's got to put you in the holiday spirit.
Treat yourself this holiday season with your brand new dream kitchen of new cabinets from Loomis Cabinet Sales and a free stainless steel dishwasher. Some restrictions apply. Call Loomis Cabinet Sales at 916-638-5655 for your free consultation or look them up at loomiscabinetsales.com.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I'm congratulating Rich and Tom for having won two signed, and these are trade paperbacks, editions, Frank McCourt's book, now available in paperback, Teacher Man. He's at the Crest Theater tonight at 7:30. Part of the California Lecture Series. He is just a wonderful writer and a delightful person who came to success late in life. 66 years old is when Angela's Ashes was first published, and he won a Pulitzer for it, which is pretty amazing. So we're talking about a number of things. As usual, we're talking about sex crimes that don't occur and how you get hauled off to the pokey in spite of the fact that they don't occur. We're talking about, and let me just add this, because we talked about it a lot yesterday. Judith Regan, who publishes Regan Books, and I think it's an imprint of one of the Rupert Murdoch companies. And by the way, Ted Turner accused Rupert Murdoch of being so cheap that he never gives to charity. And Ted Turner gives a lot of money to charity. Anyway, Judith Regan gets O.J. Simpson to write a hypothetical book, which is, of course, getting a tremendous amount of publicity, which means it will probably sell a lot of copies, called If I Did It. And had he actually murdered Nicole and Ron Goldman, how he would have done it if he had actually done it. So here she is, because there's been a huge amount of criticism, backlash of criticism to Judith Regan. And here's what she says to defend herself, and I want to know what you think about this. She said, I made the decision to publish this book and to sit face-to-face with the killer because I wanted him and the men who broke my heart and your hearts to tell the truth, to confess their sins, and to do penance, and to amend their lives. Did she leave out a key sentence there, like, I wanted to make a lot of money? Did she miss that part of it? All right, let me give you the sentence, the self-justifying sentence wrapped in such a thick mantle of sanctimony. It'll suffocate you to try to get too close to this sentence, but let me give it to you. Publisher Judith Regan from Regan Books. And it's a kind of slimy imprint anyway. They publish Rush's books, I think, some of them, in case he ever has actually written them. In case he's ever actually written them when he's not on OxyContin, in case he actually knows how to write, I don't know. She says, publisher Judith Regan, who she says she didn't recruit OJ for this, but you know, these two are a match made in heaven, as far as I can see. She says, I made the decision to publish this book and to sit face to face with the killer because I wanted him and the men who broke my heart and your hearts to tell the truth, to confess their sins, to do penance, and to amend their lives, end quote. Oh, and yes, I want to sell a lot of books, too. Oh, I forgot to say that part. What do you think about her thick sanctimony here? 349-1320. Is anybody going to believe this? 866-626-1320. And let me share this with you also. I got this from Lynn. Lynn says there is going to be an ongoing audit observation at Placer County's registrar's office to count thousands of absentee ballots and to verify thousands of provisional ballots from last week's election. So, in Placer County, the vote difference between Charlie Brown and Doolittle was only 2,082. Oh, right, that's Placer County. Altogether, I think it was 3,000 and something. But anyway, 2,082. She says it's important that we have volunteer auditors to witness this important count. So you can call Auburn Area Democrats, 530-888-9013, if you want to join the audit team, or the registrar's office at 530-886-5650. And El Dorado County also needs volunteers to do the audit in their county as well. So I tell you this because wouldn't it be? I know Charlie Brown said that there were about 30,000 uncounted provisional and absentee ballots, and if he's so close, gosh, wouldn't you think? But there must, you know, I'm not a math major, so there's probably no reason to believe he's going to win. But wouldn't that be just too delicious if that were the case? So, we're talking about O.J. and Judith Regan and how she is doing this so that O.J. can heal and all of us can heal and, oh, that she can make some money, too. Do you want to comment? Are you buying her story? Jack Abramoff in the Pokey today. Everybody in federal prison has to work. I think anybody in any prison should work if they're able to do it. And when you work in the federal prison, you are paid, apparently, between 12 and 40 cents an hour. And they're thinking that what his job is going to be is food service. So somewhere in food service land, menial jobs is where the newbies in the Pokey usually start. He'll make between 20 and 40 cents an hour. And he'll have a lot of company. I don't know if he's going to be in the same Pokey as David Safavian, but he's going to be in the Pokey. Bob Nay's in the Pokey. Got a lot of people there. They could have a good poker game in the Pokey, couldn't they? 349-1320. And Dickie, who's now under this jinx spell by this Indonesian black magician who's trying to jinx him. Well, we'll see if it works. We're jinxed for having him as our president is what I think is the way I think that's worked out. He says that he is in the spirit of bipartisanship, that he is being bipartisan. But he's doing these things that are not very bipartisan at all. There are a whole list of judges that he wants confirmation on who are so bad that even Republicans don't want to confirm these people. So why is Dickie doing that? He's belching bipartisanship, but he is not pooping it, I'm telling you right now. He thinks he's still the president. He thinks he's still in charge. He thinks he doesn't have the Democrats to deal with. But you know what? He's got the Democrats to deal with. And it's a good thing that he does. If the Democrats don't mess it up for themselves. And they could do that. Steny Hoyer won over, Jack Murtha today. And I don't know if that's a plus or a minus for Nancy Pelosi. And then you've got squabbling already going down, which is that there are people like James Carville who believe that Rahm Emanuel is who we need to thank for the election, for the success in the election, and that Howard Dean ought to be shuffled off to Buffalo. And I like Howard Dean a lot, and I think he's been unfairly railroaded. I don't know all the details, but I don't think Carville's right about that. And I think they all ought to bury the hatchet, too, because I think we all need to be on the same page. Susan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Enid. I'm calling about poor Judith Regan, and I think all of your listeners should race out and buy OJ's book so that Judith can afford some therapy and some ethics classes.
You know, I don't care how many. I don't care how many books we buy, and I don't care how many ethics classes she signs up for. I don't think it's going to work. You know who she was involved with?
No.
Oh, first of all, there's a lot of scandal around her. She had some kind of a very nasty divorce situation, but she was involved with that sleazeball Bernard Carrick, they slimed each other, these two, and. And he got, and I can't remember all the details. He was in charge of the police force in New York City, and then went to Baghdad, and then they found out that he was involved in all the wrong things. And you know, it was the conversation with that slimeball Bernard Carrick, the Westchester District Attorney, who wanted to wiretap her husband. I'll think of her last name. Somebody remind me of what her Jean Pirro, I think. Yeah. Wasn't it Pirro? Jean Pirro.
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. And so that's Bernard Carrick. And Judith Regan, never missing an opportunity to have a slimy situation, was involved with him. And now she's involved with O.J.
Do you know what blood diamonds are?
I do. But explain it to our listeners.
Judith is making money off of the blood of the people that O.J. killed, and it's disgusting, and she needs some ethics, some serious, intense, in-house ethics training, like inpatient.
Okay, so let me play, instead of drive-by. All right, let me play devil's advocate, Susan.
Okay.
Where's she going to get the ethics training if our clergy, our vaunted clergy, are pinching their sermons off the net and not crediting the source for their sermons?
Well, not only that, but they're having oral sex with whores.
Who?
Well, what's his name? Haggard.
Oh, Haggard. Well, Haggard is a...
I mean, what do you expect?
Haggard is a separate... So where is she going to... All right.
It's a lack of ethics in the clergy. It's not separate at all.
But wait a minute. It is
intertwined.
It isn't only the clergy. Where isn't it happening? Where is there an island?
Oh, Enid, I may not be ethical, but I'm not going around waving my Christian flag over my head every day.
Okay, but if I were to ask you... I mean, I know there are many, many ethical people in this world.
Sure there are.
But look at some of the areas that we talk about every day. You go to the doctor. You hope you're getting honest advice. You're finding out that sometimes the doctor's on the payroll of the drug company.
Yes, very true.
And you thought you could go to that sacred place, the medical examining room, and get an honest piece of advice, and now you're not always sure.
You don't want to talk to me about that. I'm an ex-nurse, and what I've seen would curl your toes.
Let me hear.
No, you've got 9 minutes left to talk. I'll call you when you've got some time.
Oh, I want to hear these stories because you go to those places. I don't trust them at all.
I try very hard, unless I'm spurting blood, to stay away from doctors.
Really?
Well, yeah. That's another talk. But anyway, what are you saying, that nobody's got any ethics?
I'm saying, where's she going to go to get training?
There's no hope for her. She's unethical. She's a sleazeball.
And she's
and
making
no
a...
hope. I'm being very, very sarcastic, Enid. There's no hope for the dame.
Well, I don't think you're being sarcastic. I think you're being realistic. I thank you for the call,
okay.
Susan. 349-1320. What do you think about what Susan had to say? And where would Judith Regan go to get... And you know what? Nobody cares. Ethics, we pay lip service to ethics. We pay a lot of lip service to telling the truth. But if it's more profitable not to tell the truth, who's telling the truth? Remember James Fry? Remember his biography, which wound up being practically completely a work of fiction? He made a ton of money, what was it called, A Million Little Pieces? Oprah touted the book, so he shot him immediately to the bestseller list. And then it turns out that most of it wasn't true. And he comes on her show, and she beats him up, and he's still making a ton of money. And his second book, which was also supposed to be true, but is also mainly fiction, he makes a ton of money, and who cares? The publishers who are making all this money, they don't care, really. They're saying, we got snookered, too, and, we're all about honesty, and, we're about integrity. But as long as it's profitable, guess what happens to honesty, and guess what happens to integrity? And I'm really sorry to have to report this. So anytime you can really find honesty and integrity... I think we need to value it and consider it practically an endangered species. And here, another story. I mentioned this briefly. KGO in San Francisco, KGO TV, and CBS 5 TV, so used to be called KPIX, have been using VNRs. Corporate videos is what they are. They're put out by various companies. They masquerade. They're the same thing as a press release, except that they aren't a press release. They are a video press release. And they are purveyed to you as news. And why does everybody go along? Well, it's cheap. They don't have to end up, and the corporation is getting all this free publicity. Sometimes it's about a medical story. It looks like it's a news report. And you know who used this to good effect? The administration. Dickey. They used it. They were using VNRs. They were using disguising propaganda, trying to dress it up, tart it up as actual news. And what it was propaganda. Mm-hmm. They did that. So where are you going to get an honest broker? They're becoming rarer and rarer because the bottom line is 349-13. Oh, and here, Dickey has reappointed. He's trying to reappoint Ken Tomlinson, who tried to turn public broadcast into a conservative bastion, number one. And number two, he was using government property, facilities, office, and everything to do his own private business. So, and this is who they want to restore to. Bush has renominated this horrible person to be chairman of the agency that directs U.S. overseas broadcasts, even though the nomination has been stalled in the Senate amid allegations of misconduct. Why would Bush want to do that if he's really interested in partisanship? Kenneth Y. Tomlinson was nominated again as chairman of the Broadcasting Board of Governors and for a term on the board that would take him to 2007. The board oversees Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, and so on. In September, there's a government investigation into his activities that has been underway. A report by the State Department's Inspector General said that Tomlinson misused government funds for 2 years as chairman of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and he has disputed the allegations in the report, that he signed invoices worth about $245,000 for a friend without the knowledge of other board members or staff, use the board's office resources to support his private horse racing operation, overbuild the organization for his time, he at the same time, he double-billed that he would build the corporation for work on Broadcasting Board of Governors and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, on whose board he was a member until resigning. And that group, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, he tried to turn into a bastion of conservatism. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Not fiction at all going southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Right-hand side, we've got a three-car crash stopping things down. I-5 into J Street and coming back over northbound Cap City Freeway. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair Mall. Wait, Borders Books. Although, Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Ma'am, do you want to think about it and call us back?
Nope, I'm going with Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Or Borders. But Arden Fair Mall.
Making the choice isn't always easy. When it comes to the environment, choosing to make it better is easy. Choose a cleaner, healthier environment by joining Smud's Greenergy. For as little as $3 a month, Smud will match your electricity use with energy created from clean, renewable resources like the wind and sun. It doesn't get much easier than that. Plus, get your choice of a free $10 gift certificate from Borders Books, Jamba Juice, Arden Fair Mall, or Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op when you enroll for 6 months or more.
I'll take Arden Fair or Borders. But the food co-op.
Start with the easy choice and join Smud's Greenergy today. Enroll online at smud.org or call 1-888-742-SMUD. Smud, the power to do more.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Sacramento's Media Edge presents a screening of the award-winning film Shadow Company on Tuesday, November 21st at the Crest Theater at 7:30 p.m. In the late 20th century, the distinction between soldier and mercenary became blurred. The recent use of private military companies in Iraq has been more extensive than at any time in modern history. Shadow Company is a groundbreaking full-length documentary that explores the moral and ethical issues private military solutions create and addresses the risks of allowing profit-motivated corporations into the business of war. See Shadow Company Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Admission is $10. The screening benefits local alternative media, including Media Edge. More information is at We The Media TV or on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Okay, I think I'm going to do it right now because I'm going to forget if I don't do it right now. I have two editions. These sell for $15 a piece, or what you call trade paperbacks. This is Frank McCourt. If you missed, and let me just remind you, I'm having a kind of control room conversation here, if that didn't make any sense to you. Let me just remind you that WhiteRoseSociety.org, www.WhiteRoseSociety, one word, .org, archives my shows. And if you will really, he was so wonderful to talk to. I'm sorry we only had him for half an hour. But those of you who are Frank McCourt fans or interested in wonderful conversation, I think you might want to access WhiteRoseSociety.org and check out my interview, and that's at 4 o'clock today. But we were lucky to get books for you. You listen to Enid Live, and we like to give you lots of presents every day. We like to give you the presence of the best conversation we can muster, and some days I suppose it's better than others. And, you know, in my dreams, I wish it were perfect every single day, but I couldn't do it without you. And some of you are just, you guys are just marvelous. Some of the calls I get are just amazing. And lots of times, and I've said this, I'm a lot smarter at the end of the shift than I was at the beginning of the shift. So I want to thank you. And sometimes we thank you with the things that we give away, tickets and so on. But I have two, and these are signed copies by Frank McCourt. And what is it? We're going to do the third caller, and we are, okay, third caller is Susan, and she won, and we have one more, and if you are the what caller? The fifth caller. If you're the fifth caller, 349-1320, you get the other one. But you have to come here and pick them up. We are at 5345 Madison Avenue between Hemlock and Garfield, and these are both signed by the wonderful Pulitzer Prize winning Frank McCourt. They would sell for $15 and signed, I don't know, maybe it makes them valuable in some way. And the real value is in reading them. He's a marvelous writer. So I am, this is a gift from me to you. Irene, congratulations to Susan and to Irene. You are both won a lovely and rare gift today. Okay, all of you, I think we gave away a bunch of these today, and all of you who won them, you won something quite wonderful, and we hope that this helps to remind you. We hope that that's one of many reasons that you want to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we're here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, that you can hear compelling and interesting talk radio, that we're willing to challenge the conventional wisdom, in case there is any left, that you will be heard. Even if you don't have your own forum, you always have a forum here, and you will be heard. We've been talking about a number of things. We've been talking about Judith Regan's sanctimonious explanation for why she's publishing O.J.'s book. It'll give all of us a chance to heal, she said, to confess the sins and to do penance and to amend their lives, she says. But she didn't mention anything about how much profit she'd be taking from it. And we've also been talking a lot about sex today. We've been talking about the fact that Mark Foley has been announced that he's under criminal